United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned as head of the PTL club.
In a bad- Welcome to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends, the local talk show that stimulates your mind and keeps you thinking about things going on in your world. From local issues to topics of global importance, Tracy and Friends keeps you informed and keeps the conversation going. Call to talk to Tracy and Friends at 347-945-5229, 330-781-9600, or toll free at 1-866-530-WSOM. Listen online at tracyandfriends.com or at 600WSOM.com. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, somebody threw a shoe at Ahmadinejad on his not-so-good trip to Cairo. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM, AM 600, and in studio with me is Six. You just threw that one over there. I think that one's already up. It is 7 minutes after the hour, 12 noon, here on WSOM, and I hope you're having a good day. Today is Wednesday, it's the 6th of
February. 6th of February all day long.
And for those of you who are in the Mahoning Valley or if you just want to drive to Youngstown for an hour visit, on Friday at 10:30 at the Board of Elections, it's 1045 Oak Hill, I will be getting sworn in as a new board member to the Board of Elections here in Mahoning County. I was confirmed by the Secretary of State. It is official. And so I want to thank the Executive Committee for nominating me and Secretary of State John Houston for confirming me. And I want to thank the Mahoning Valley for supporting me and for everyone who has sent out a congratulations and a shout-out. And I ask that you would keep me in your prayers so that I will be able to govern efficiently and effectively as God would see fit.
How does it feel to be a bigger celebrity? I saw you on the front page of the Vindicator.
It's on the front page?
Front page.
I didn't know it was on the front page.
Front page.
I'm not a celebrity. Six. They can't see us. What are you talking about?
You got an eyelash getting ready to walk up into your eye. That's all I was worried about.
Oh.
Loose one.
You guys got to sit here going, take your fingers, everybody, and then go down your nose and tell me what that means.
I just didn't want to see it walk up into your eye because if it gets under your eyelid, boy, is that a bother.
It is. But I do want to thank everybody. I didn't know it was the front page.
Yeah, front page, bottom right corner. I mean, it wasn't above the fold. But
that's okay.
But we got an idiot that decided to dump Brian in a river, which made me feel really bad because I got a lot of faith in my mineral people, and it hurts to see people that don't do what's right because our minerals and our natural resources of all types are so important to us, and I firmly believe in wise use, and to see something like this makes me extremely angry.
We need to be mindful that a lot of times we give people the benefit of the doubt, and that's where we that are, I'm going to say naive, get thrown under the bus.
We look at the
silver lining of a cloud, and we have to really be honest, and people are people, and when you look at your own life, if you're honest with your skeletons, everybody got them.
Yep.
I've never met anyone that never has any skeleton. Now, some people have multiple skeletons. Some people have so many skeletons they won't fit in a closet. But everybody got a skeleton that
mm-hmm.
you really don't want to show up on the surface.
Right.
And some people feed their skeletons, and some people try to break them, destroy them, so that they never happen again. It all depends on the people. And we need to make sure, no matter what party they're a part of, no matter who they are, that we're not so judgmental that we are think that we're better than other people, but never think that people it's beneath people not to do things that they know not to
well,
do.
Greed
gets in the way of
I know.
Everything.
This has been an ongoing thing for a couple of days, and I kind of looked at it to start with as innocent until proven guilty. That was my thing, you know, innocent until proven guilty. And now he's been proven guilty, I guess. So
did he get proven guilty, or is it still just starting?
Well, what I saw on the front page of the Vindicator just as I was coming in here, I stopped a store, was...
You got a Vindicator?
No, I didn't get the Vindicator. It was laying out on the counter. I'm too cheap to buy a Vindicator.
I am too. That's the problem. Wait a minute. Hold on, Six. Wait a minute. Whoa. Wait a minute. I'm on the front page of the Vindicator. I'm your friend, and you didn't buy a Vindicator.
There wasn't a Vindicator for sale. It was laying on the counter.
No, Six. You saw the Vindicator. You didn't even ask, say, can I have this Vindicator? You mean to tell me that you saw the Vindicator, you didn't stop and buy it? You saw your friend. Well, no, you're my friend. Or, because it's Tracy and friends. But
right.
You saw the Vindicator with my... Right. Was it a good picture?
I thought it was.
Okay.
It's a recent picture.
You never know.
It was a recent picture.
Because they got some bad ones on me, too. But you saw my picture on the front page of the Vindy.
Yeah.
And you didn't go buy a paper?
I figured you had one already. I mean, you live in Youngstown. I thought you got a Vindicator. I thought it was like a law in the city. If you live in the in Youngstown, you get a Vindicator.
Are they free? When they send a free Vindy, I got a free Vindy. Illegal dump of brine. Okay. Where is... No.
Yeah.
No, you didn't... See, they don't put my picture on the Internet.
Oh, they didn't put your picture on the Internet.
No. And so my friend who you called... You're my friend because you feed me. And anybody that feeds me is my friend. You feed me. And you don't buy a paper. Don't you know you're supposed to, like, go into and put 20 cents in and take all the papers?
But that would be dishonest.
That's true, too. Don't do that.
I wouldn't do that. I would take one paper, but I wouldn't take them all.
Okay, just checking. I'm just, you know, it's open mic today because we goofed up on the schedule, so.
Well, we got, there's another thing going on in town if you're not busy on Tuesday night, next Tuesday on the 12th. At Living Faith Church in Salem, 166 Vine Street, Salem, we're going to start a video series on Agenda 21 and how it affects you. And it's already started, and you don't even know it's there. So come on out and learn something about Agenda 21.
Now, hold on. Did you watch that movie?
Yes.
The one I sent you?
I watched it 2 years ago in a church basement.
Oh, so it's the one I sent you.
Yeah, I didn't realize it when I saw the front of it, but once I started watching it, I realized what it was.
So you saw that movie?
Yeah. It's the...
Why do people think that I'm a conspiracy theorist now?
I don't know. You can put... I mean, it's like watching a family tree. Karl Marx taught this guy, taught this guy, taught this guy, taught this guy, and pretty soon you end up with Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama.
Are they the only two?
No. There's many, 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 but basically the entire Ivy League. And that's why we don't have a change in our government, because all of these people are going to the same schools and being taught by the same instructors. So they're the same thing. And people get so mad when I say they're cut from the same cloth. But if they didn't come out of the Ivy League, they're cut from the same cloth.
But now, hold on. Are they the only – because, you know, I was talking,
no.
Now, we were talking about 2016, and I told – they were talking about who's going to run. And I'm like
– Rand Paul.
Okay, we know. We're talking about the other side.
Oh.
Rand Paul, we know that there's going to be, I think Kasich's going to run. I think Rand Paul's going to run. I think Rubio's going to run. I think Christie's going to run.
I think we're going to have a woman?
Nope.
You don't think Bachman's going to try it again?
Nope.
I really can't think of a Republican woman that I could get behind.
Nope. I don't think she can win. I mean, it's not that I'm woman-hating, but I don't think she can win. I don't think she can win the primary. And I tell people it's a dance.
Mm-hmm.
It's truly a dance. But I don't think. But we were talking about who's going to run, and they were talking about the left side. And you know, Hillary, she's going to probably run. And they think that Joe Biden can run and win. I don't think Joe can run and win.
I don't think he sticks his foot in his mouth way too much for the general population. I mean, he does real well with the base, but he sticks his foot way in his mouth too much for the general population. And I think Hillary's too damaged over the Benghazi thing.
Not to get out the primary.
You think you don't think that hurt her enough in the primary, but it hurt her in the general.
But you got to understand, this is going to be a mute issue by 2016.
Yeah, we do have a short memory.
We're not going to remember Benghazi. Ben who? I mean, it all... I don't think we'll remember that. We don't remember what we ate for breakfast yesterday. And you think they're going to really remember Benghazi?
Yeah, that's true. you've got an awful lot of low-information voters.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, the majority, and once you start doing this kind of stuff, you forget that everybody else doesn't pay this much attention to it.
Because I'm still tripping on, you know, the Boy Scouts, and they're still fighting the Boy Scouts on wanting to have gay troop leaders. I don't understand. What is so big about having gay troop leaders? I mean, seriously, what's the big deal? Why do you have to be a troop leader?
I got a problem with gay troop leaders.
My question is, why do you have to be a troop leader?
Because they want to be. I'll be honest. I look at it as a simple thing. Would I want my little girl in the Girl Scouts going on a camp out with male scout leaders? No, I wouldn't. I mean, so I guess the Girl Scouts need male gay scout leaders, and the Boy Scouts need female gay scout leaders. I guess I could go along with that, sort of. I don't like it.
Because I have to tell you, I'm uncomfortable now in open locker rooms.
Did you used to be comfortable?
More so than I am now.
I don't see.
When you're
the United States Navy takes all the modesty right out of you.
You got to understand, when we were coming up, there were always open locker rooms.
Yeah, you had gang showers.
And so you have these open locker rooms, and everybody, you're really not thinking about other people are trying to hit on you. Because remember, the boys and the girls don't shower together.
Yet. I'm afraid it's coming. It scares me.
That would be bad.
I mean, well, look what we're doing as a society. We're taking away all the modesty from our little girls.
I mean, seriously, we have no modesty. What's modesty? What is a modesty? What's modesty? What are you talking about?
I know. There is none anymore. We dress our children as prostitutes.
Mm-hmm.
And we tell our young men if they're not sexually active by the time they're 11, there's something wrong with them.
Mm-hmm. But I don't. I mean, but think about this.
And then we wonder why our society's going to hell in a handbasket.
We don't have co-ed showers.
Yet.
People are saying yet.
It's coming, I'm telling you. I swore 20 years ago that we'd never have co-ed submarines, and we got those now.
No, but co-ed showers are different. I mean, think about it. That would be bad. Because remember the 49ers guy said there ain't that gay stuff going on in the locker room. And he had to come back and say he was sorry. But my question is, if you're uncomfortable in co-ed showers, if you're heterosexual, are you uncomfortable with co-ed shower, or should I say showers, open showers and open lockers, when you have people who are sexually attracted to the same sex? I mean, I'm just saying.
All right.
And so here we are with the Boy Scouts and the Girl Scouts now, and the Scouts are suing, or somebody's suing the ACLU, or somebody is suing the Boy Scouts because they want inclusion when it comes to being a Boy Scout troop leader. And I'm not quite sure. If somebody can call me and tell me, the number is 347-945-5229. If somebody can give me some information and help me out, because I am really confused why they're pushing the issue. I mean, it's like, because the Boy Scouts are a nonprofit agency. They're a private agency, if I'm not mistaken. They're not a public agency.
I think there's a cultural...
And they're a Christian band.
For lack of a better term, cultural conspiracy to destroy everything that's good and pure in our society.
There you go again. It's the end of 21. There you go again. You keep on doing this conspiracy thing. Do you have to? Fix. You're the manager.
Yeah. You just got to look. I mean, you're the person who sent me the movie that re-sparked all this stuff.
I thought it would be very, very interesting. I didn't know it was done a couple of years ago.
Yeah, it was at Evangelical Friends Church and Alliance, I saw it.
I didn't know that was a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
I thought that was recent.
Mm-mm.
Hey, that's serious.
I mean, it's like looking at a family tree. When it's laid out the way it was laid out in that movie, the movie was called Agenda.
Yes.
Not Agenda 21, just Agenda.
Because all the dots connected. They really did.
And it goes, it starts out with Karl Marx, and it ends up with Barack Obama.
Now, let me ask this. I don't think Barack Obama is the head of this.
I think he's just one part of it.
I think he is an executor of the plan because he was the best person to execute the plan. Is Hillary Clinton that far left?
Yes.
So you believe that she actually subscribes to the same paradigm as Barack
Obama? To be honest, to a large portion, I think George Bush ascribed to it, the progressive agenda.
How about Mitt Romney?
Yes. I'm telling you, these people are all cut from the same cloth.
So why did we support him?
Because he was going slower. Am I going to vote for the jet aircraft, or am I going to vote for the rowboat? At least if I vote for the rowboat and he gets in, I got time to try to stop him.
I think Jeff puts it this way. Jeff believes that one is going for the agenda through the United Nations, and one is going through an American controlled agenda.
I tend to agree with that. I really tend to agree with that.
You guys are scary.
That just seems the way things fall.
Okay. You guys are scary.
Well, it's a scary world out there. I mean, I'm hearing stuff on the radio every day that boggles the mind. Well, within a few years, we're going to have a DNA copier. It's coming.
What do you do with the DNA copier?
It's going to be able to print stem cells out of thin air, copy stem cells. There's going to be the guy that created the Segway is coming up with a water purification system. You'll be able to dump paint in it and get water out of it that you can drink. Actually, it's clean enough. It'll be injectable water, sterile injectable.
And did you listen to the show yesterday?
In and out.
Did you hear that I got called a, I don't remember.
Was it not nice?
No, it wasn't nice. They called me I can't remember. I got to write that down. I got to put it on the wall. They were not nice to me yesterday. I don't understand. They call me a.
I did hear every white person in the United States is a white supremacist. I did hear that.
No, they call me a racial psychopath.
Oh yeah, I did hear that. Yeah.
I'm a psychopathic racially identified miss something. Okay, I'm done. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I want to hear from you today. It's open mic. Sticks and I are here, and I'm going to take a break in just a second. Sticks, when he called me, he said he wanted to talk about how the changes were in America. Is that what you told me?
Well, where's our pioneer spirit?
What pioneer?
Where's our pioneer spirit?
They
used to say that the capital of West Virginia was Akron, Ohio.
Okay.
You know, my grandparents came down here from Wisconsin by way of Chicago. People used to sell everything they owned by a covered wagon and go out west, and we got people marching in the streets demanding somebody else pay for their birth control. What has happened to this nation? Tell me. Can you imagine the mental attitude of the person that sold everything they owned and bought a covered wagon to go out west and take a chance on everything, marching down the street saying, pay for my birth control, pay for my birth control. I want.
No.
You got to give me. When did we become a nation of takers instead of a nation of makers? And why do we demonize the makers and demand that they pay their fair share when they're already paying the majority of the tax burden anyways?
Wow. Who got your britches in a box?
Oh, my britches have been, it's been...
Jeez, old man.
Stewing.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. I'm going to take a break because Stick's got a britches in a bunch. Be right back.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Fit Family, unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you, with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax, 309 West Midlothian Boulevard.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Do you depend on your computer? Then you know that a virus on your computer is bad news. But there is something you can do. Just call this number, 330-759-9700. That's 330-759-9700. That's the number for Ambassador Technologies in Liberty Township. Ambassador Technologies specializes in virus removal and restores your computer to full performance. We also specialize in computer repair, from desktops, laptops, laptop screens, laptop power supplies, laptop batteries, and hardware updates. And when your business needs networking, Ambassador Technologies is the place to go. Ambassador Technologies, Youngstown's best for computer repair, networking, website development, and even low-cost business cards and publishing. Call Ambassador Technologies at 330-759-9700. Online at ambastech.com. That's ambassatech.com.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com. Now, here's Tracy.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is an open mic today, and Sticks and I are here in studio, and want to hear from you. We'll go almost anywhere. You know, we do energy and cerebral thought, and we want to talk about the old range, and I put something on my Facebook page. I've got to find it again, but I will pull up some calls, and we'll go somewhere, and we'll have some fun today. Again, the number is 347-945-5229. If you want to call locally, you can. That number is 330-781-9600. Uh-oh. Caller, local call back in. I'm coming to you. I just had to get that out. So we want to hear from you, and let's see if there's anybody else up here. 438, your mic is on. My family, I think that's you.
Yes, Tracy.
How are you?
Not bad. How are you?
I'm good.
How's your plan of losing weight? Is it still working? Are you still doing
it? I'm doing Pilates. Doris and I will be here next week. Next Thursday, but they're beating me up pretty bad. A local call, hold on just a second. They're beating me up pretty bad. Last night, she treated me like I was a stepchild. I mean, she made me like a contortionist, you know, pull myself into a pretzel and stretch myself and breathe at the same time, and it was really, really bad.
Good.
I feel my body.
Good, Tracy. You're doing one room with work one week at a time. So you're building, you're beating one day at a time. Congratulations.
Hold on just a second, Stanley. Hey, local call, your mic is on.
Okay, I am?
Yes, sir, you are.
Okay. The elitist wants to get rid of 2/3 of the world's population. And they will do this. But they want to go back to the kings and queens like they used to be. So in case you don't know that, all of this can be proven. And then start checking the ancestry of our leaders, Obama, Bushes, Clintons. Start checking the ancestry of these people because we really need to do that. So they can all be traced right back to the kings and queens. And that is the problem. And we're all going to end up being slaves in this country if we don't straighten this whole mess up. We've got drones flying over top of us. They're planning on putting 10,000 up there. And with our German Air Force base down in New Mexico that the Bush brought in, and with a foreign troop training on our soil as we speak, with illegals allowed to enlist, who's flying these drones? And just how long do you think it will be before computer hackers will hack into these drones and turn them back on us anyway? And that's what I have to say. I just wondered what your opinion of all this was.
I agree.
Yeah.
I don't understand how we do things. I mean, you know, it's like, you know, I know that you're supposed to have your friends close and your enemies closer, but you don't get in bed.
And we've got our...
We move them in and put them in our bed.
We've got them all in Washington, D.C., all of them, Republicans and Democrats, because they would have moved for impeachment a long time ago because I went through this with his birth certificate yesterday, I believe it was. But they could have impeached Obama a long time ago. But everybody's in bed with everybody and blackmailable, and that's why we have no justice in this country whatsoever anymore. And that's the bottom line on all of this. and we're going down the tube so fast. And I just feel for all of us because we're in deep trouble. That's all it is.
Well, caller, do you feel it's the entitlement mentality that's driving this? Because as long as people are getting their bread in circuses, they don't really pay attention to what's going on around them?
It's the government that brought all this down on us, the entitlements, everything, okay? The government's done this to us all on purpose.
But don't we elect the people we send to Congress?
No.
No, we do not.
No.
They put these people up before us, and then we get the vote for their stooge.
Because we're not politically savvy enough to be educated. And I will say this as a Board of Education member, I pray that will give me the ability to go out into the public and to educate people on their power of the vote and not just on the money.
See, don't get me wrong. I'm not naive enough to think this just started yesterday. This has been over a 100-year process, and I understand that we've been dumbing down the populace for 100 years. But I don't believe 100 years ago that the average person was as politically uneducated as they are today.
They didn't have they didn't have the distractions.
That's true.
I mean, I was thinking about this morning. You know, I'm a radio person. And at one time, you kept your radio on primarily the most of the day. You'd have your favorite station, and it was white noise in the background.
Right.
And you only had three channels of television.
Right.
You came home, and if you were working around the house, you had on your radio station, and you were working and you were doing it. You didn't have all the internet and the entertainment and the cars and the goes and you didn't have all that.
Yeah, when I was in high school, we did a Nielsen survey. They sent the little books to the house.
Yeah.
And my dad sat down the first night we got it and filled his out for the week and set it down.
We're being fed what they want us to know, and we're being bottle fed, you might just as well say, of what the pablum that they're serving. And the people are not paying attention. Just like with me, I pay attention to others. I see the food line, you know. I see people riding bicycles in this kind of weather to get around. And not for exercise. I'm talking they're riding bicycles. I watch them picking up scrap. I know that our country is going downhill. We've got to feel for one another, and people they think that they're making money, so they're okay. You know, the rest of us, you know, they aren't going so hot. They don't care. And that's the bad part about this whole situation is not enough people will care until they're in the same boat with all of us and we're all down the tube. And then I'm afraid it's going to be too late.
They don't care, or they don't think they can do anything about it.
They don't care enough, because if you cared and if you're looking and seeing what's going on around at your neighbors, you would know that some of them are in deep trouble, you know. It's a depression if you're
if your neighbor's out of work, it's a recession. If you're out of work, it's a depression. You're absolutely right.
And that's why people are not waking up fast enough. They're paying too much time to their football games, their basketball games.
Well, do you think the fact that we have food stamps now and all of these entitlement things are actually masking it so you don't have the soup lines of the 30s, and that if we didn't have these things where we had the soup lines that the people would react differently?
We'd be right back in a depression if we didn't have all this stuff.
But we are still in a depression, according to you, because
because
it's hidden because
no,
people are on assistance for their groceries.
See, this is the issue. Yes, Dr. Veronica, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm doing pretty good. Just actually two things to address the issue of what the caller said concerning the drones and computer hackers being able to get into that system. The problem with that is Unless they are in that network, and unless they have the cryptographic capabilities of transmitting a signal with that crypto, they would never get into it. They couldn't do anything with it. They may be able to hack into the computer system, but they wouldn't be able to control the drone because they would not have the cryptological ability to decode the signal being sent. It's just like a data link. You know, it's just like any other data link they use. They use crypto to scramble that signal. But on the other side of that, though, Tracy, as far as the depression, I think a lot of people have a misconception of how the depression did us. The depression of the 1930s actually you lost cash flow in the market, but those individuals that didn't use cash were not necessarily affected in the same way. You had people down here in the South that never went, you know, they didn't have any problem with food, they didn't have any problem with water or services because they bartered with it. They grew their own food. They didn't have that issue. They didn't have a lot of soup lines down here.
Yeah, there was community.
Hey, everybody, you know, made their own soup. But now they've got us to the point where we don't do that anymore. Depression would actually it would have catastrophic effects on the American people.
Let me say this: I believe that we are on a pseudo recession, and the reason why, and when I say that, is because the number of people who are dependent upon food services is growing. But Sticks, if you were to take away there are people that are in. See, there's a difference between, entitlement and needment.
Okay, I'm saying, and I'm not saying I want to take these people's food away. I'm just saying if we were doing it where everybody had to line up, so it was a physical thing.
You don't need a food line.
You think there would be a reaction in the media?
No, the embarrassment of standing in line for food is not a good feeling. What has happened is you don't want to break a person's spirit. The problem with America is we are feeding people for entitlement. When I say feeding people for entitlement, we're trying to get people to stay broke, to stay on the system, because we're not trying to help them up. We're trying to keep them where they are.
But see, I think you're missing my point. My point was with the general populace, because there's nothing in the media, no physical thing that people can see of, like the people in soup lines and stuff. You don't think it would change the way people thought about the way people thought about economic activity and we got to stop this?
No, because the number one topic is the Super Bowl still, and the number one topic is reality TV. You have to understand what this man is saying about the bait and shift. They're keeping us focused over here, entertainment, amused,
gun control,
gun control. So that we're not dealing with the actual fiscal damage that we're in. Because I don't know about you guys, but when you guys go to the grocery store, do you guys see shrinking shelves and shrinking food but costing more? Hold on, Huskerman. What were you saying, local call?
Okay. With this Homeland Security deal that's been signed and everything, Obama can take out any American that he wants at this point in time. And people better start waking up.
I think you're mistaken on that, sir. That's only if you're outside of the country.
What?
Eric Holder just said that the United States government can target any American citizen that is operating outside of the confines of the United States in a terrorist act.
We've had CIA agents found in the dumpsters that was going to start doing a little squealing. They've been doing it for a long time, getting rid of people that are, what do you call them, whistleblowers. They do what they
want. I will say this, and I'm not that much of a conspiracy theorist like that, but there's a lot of dead bodies that follow the Clintons.
Well, sure, you can go back to Kennedy with Marilyn Monroe, all of them. Anybody that's set to these people, they dispose of.
There's a lot of dead bodies at Walmart. Now I'm sorry.
At Walmart.
I'm reading.
Is that where I got to go to pick up my local dead body? Is Walmart?
They're there too. Hey, I'm going to get off here and listen to you. Okay.
Hey, thanks for calling.
You
I appreciate
wonderful
it.
Day, sir.
Have a great day.
There's a lot of dead bodies following the Clintons.
Oh yes, definitely.
I mean, there's a list. Yeah. A long list of
What I want to know is
Martin Luther King.
I want to know how you die in an airplane crash with a bullet in the back of your head.
You follow them?
Yeah.
There's a long line of dead people that follow them.
And this is terrible when our government is murdering. And, of course, we had a judge murdered, another judge murdered down in Texas. But what the bad part about the first one was Gifford.
Yeah.
They don't talk about Judge Roll. Judge Roll was murdered at that. And he was involved in a case with Obama 3 days earlier where he went against Obama. So then on that day, he was killed, and there was Gifford and him were supposed to meet later to discuss the legal problem that we got. And, of course, they never got to make that meeting. He was gone, and she was shot in the face, and now she's moving against gun control, which is ridiculous, because the only thing that's going to save the populace in this country is the guns. I'm afraid, because I don't think it's going to be solved any other way, because all we get is...
I'm Mark LaVoy, WA.
Sorry about that. No, don't pay attention to me. That was something that wasn't supposed to come in.
Oh.
Well, listen up.
All we're getting is trash in Washington, D.C. That's all we're getting, no matter who's, no matter what you think you're getting, you end up with trash.
We're going to have to work harder, and I think we can. I do.
We
can get good people, but we've got to be educated, and we haven't educated the populace on the power of the electoral process.
What we need to do is pick, draft, and elect. And I'm talking machinists. I'm talking welders.
Absolutely.
I'm talking
absolutely
common folks.
Absolutely.
To get them in there, and all we need to do is start. We don't need more legislation, so we don't need no dumb lawyers.
I agree.
We send legislation and treaties that has taken this country down. And that's exactly what we need. And you can do it, and so can the fella sitting beside you, and so would I.
Hey,
so
I think.
I'm going to get off of here.
Thanks for calling
you
in. 831, your mic is on.
Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Hi, Tracy.
Hi.
Hey,
hi.
Bonnie.
Yes. Hi, Sticks. Hi, Tracy. Congratulations, Tracy.
Thank you.
Yesterday I listened, and the gentleman that was just on.
Yes.
Reminds me so much of the family that I grew up with, my mom, my dad, my uncles, my grandparents. And I agree with him so much. And as you said, and, I think the entitlement mentality, with what Sticks you were saying, I understand. But I think the entitlement mentality is actually a government commodity. I think our government uses the poor and the poverty to create business and keep the company going as government. Government is like a business, and they're using those people. I read the book I told you, Bridges Out of Poverty, and the Carl Upchurch, Convicted in the Womb.
Yeah.
And you can go through every single book written, and even old YouTube videos from 2009 of 2020, old episodes of Diane Sawyer going into the Appalachia. And those were all white families, and a horrible drugs, depression. And I think the reason we're in what we're in is because the government, and Mitt Romney came out, everybody was crucified with that 47%. I think it's higher. And I think he was talking about those who have probably gotten very close to losing their hope. We know that he didn't mean it in a negative, it went off into another tangent. We know that because we understand that. And it was used as a political game for that. But there was just so many is that noise coming from my phone?
No, I think that's South Carolina.
Okay. I just think that the government uses the backs of the poor.
The government does. Let me say this. The government doesn't use the backs of the poor.
They make it an opportunity.
No. See, we need to understand something. We are the government.
We are, and
we are the government.
If we really got our voices heard, Tracy, but we haven't gotten that for so long. You know, we talked about it, and we call your show, and you know, there's been so many unjustified cases of wrongdoing.
But that's our fault. You know, when I look at, you know, the people who really get involved in the process of the voting and the political process of America, it's very, 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 very slim. When you look at the numbing of America, it'll show you where the dream went. They have numbed us to where we are desensitized to being involved in the political process.
Well, we've given up to a certain degree because it's a lot of money.
A lot of
campaigns are run by money.
But it's not a lot of money. That's what I'm saying. See, they've conditioned us to believe that the money drives the vote. But money doesn't drive a vote if you're actually engaged in the voting process. The only reason why money drives it is because you're ignorant to what's really going on. So they've got to pay you, or should I say pay, to give you ignorant information so that you can be emotionally charged to vote for something that you don't even know anything about.
Well, I think maybe on the voters' end, but I'm talking about the people that are actually running for offices.
Tracy, you know
a lot of people who were on the school boards of the places of the groups that you've been involved in. And Sticks, anyone who's ever had, you know, even been on a little league group, you see all of the things that happen that you know are wrong, and there's not a thing you can do about it because somebody is feeding the pocket and being somebody's friend,
Bonnie,
and it's about money.
But you can. That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
They have
how
not,
can you do that? Even at a low level, how do you begin that?
If you have the majority of good people and you actually get involved in it, you have the ability to hold people accountable. And so when the mail comes, you don't have to worry about what they're saying, because you already know who they are before you vote for them. Are you following me?
No, I see it from a different perspective, Tracy. I see it. There are hardworking people out here, and just like the gentleman caller that called in, when there's a standard. And you think, oh, well, you're being given a choice, you know, which I went and voted. I felt, you know, I have a choice. But, you know, this has been the most disturbing campaign. And I didn't even like the George Young Bush. You know, I mean, that was very, very disheartening the whole way that flew, you know, with them recounting it and him getting the election. You know, I'm an independent voter. I'm not a Republican or a Democrat, and I really think, the Republican Party has got to come up with another plan to be the Republican again, to be honest again.
But
there have been so many crooks,
but But this is the issue: the balance of power that's supposed to happen. And if anybody wants to jump in, please do so. Stanley and South Carolina, get your mics open. The balance of power that's supposed to happen between the three branches of government on all three levels, which is your local, your statewide, and your national, we have allowed them to get into agenda politics and partisan politics where the balance of power does not work effectively. Because,
right.
See, if I turn around and I tell you that there's a quilt on the wall, and I tell you this, the quilt is red, white, and blue. If you turn around and say, no, the quilt is purple, blue, and white, if I'm right that the quilt is red, white, and blue, then Bonnie ought to side with me and say, no, Sticks, the
right.
quilt is red, white, and blue. It's not purple.
Right.
In politics now, I'm not allowed to cross the line and say that you're right.
Yeah, and both parties have thrown people under the bus
and that's what I'm talking about.
Right.
So I guess we agree about the same thing, because I have heard over the last, it's been forever now, off and on, And we've all done it. We listen to something that comes across the radio, or we see something on television, and we literally stand in our own space and roll our eyes and go, are you kidding? They want us to believe such things. It's like so, there's so much nonsense.
And
I
again,
mean,
well,
you can just go
this.
On and on and on with cases.
And let me also throw this in. Hold on, so this is second thoughts. Let me tell you what else happens. And this is what infuriates me to no end, and before I take my break, but South Carolina, I don't want to let you get in. It bothers me that they will put in a piece of legislation, and if they're talking about cars, they'll put telephones inside of a car as vehicle legislation, and then they don't tell you about what else they put in there. And you find yourself, you're upset because they voted for something, but they had to vote for that to get something else done. And I'm sorry, that's just stupid to me. Why do we allow that to happen?
And how do we change that? How do we know? How do
but
we
you
know?
You make them
really
accountable.
Telling us the truth.
But you can research the information. The problem is
that's
we
true.
Don't take the time to research. Go ahead, South Carolina.
Listen, the thing that I'm looking at is when you've got a set of people who are dead set on putting out the propaganda. And they put it out there, and they put it out there over and over and over and over. And that's all you hear, okay? And when the truth actually comes out, they have no idea what the heck the truth is, so they're going to go with what they're being told. They've just gotten to the point where they're so daggone lazy. We've just gotten to the point where we're so much of an instant society. It's becoming a rare thing to find someone that actually wants to go out and research and find out the truth. The majority of us just want somebody to tell us what the truth is, and that is a scary thing.
The problem is when I find the truth out, I feel as though I'm powerless to do anything about it because I find out that it's wrong. I mean, just think about this.
And
why were guns inside of the healthcare reform act?
It doesn't make any
sense.
Because Harry Reid and the NRA wanted them there. Or the NRA wanted Harry Reid to put him there.
Well,
that doesn't make sense. That doesn't make sense to me.
Here's the crazy thing about it is, you know, we have got to get to the point to where we become as indignant as our legislators. That we will say, okay, we're going to come and sit on your doorstep if we find out you've done something wrong. We will tar and feather your butt and ride you out on a pine rail if that's what it takes.
I'm afraid it doesn't matter anymore. You know, Glenn Beck put 1 million people on the mall and nothing. Nobody cared. Nobody changed.
You're right.
Was that before or after? Was that before or after the healthcare thing?
It was right after. But, you know, now he, even if you watch his show and even some of the others, you know, if you listen to other people who were so enthusiastic, it's just taken the wind out of our sails. I mean, I want to be hopeful. I want to be hopeful, and I really, really want to believe that people want to hear the truth. But I've heard it so many times, they can't handle the truth. They needed little tiny bites, portions, like a baby spoon, you know?
Hold on, let me take my break. Don't go away, Bonnie. I got to go back to what you said. The number 347-945-522. I will be right back. You'll see you on the other side of my break. I'm going to turn the mics off so you guys can continue the conversation there, South Carolina.
Okay, thank you.
Hello, South Carolina.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Hi. But Bonnie, the crazy thing about this, honey, is I am just that hard-headed, I guess, and some people would say, that I just absolutely refuse to give any man that much power over me. I will dog him and dog him and dog him until I find out what's going on. If I know the truth, I'm going to do everything I can to get the truth out and call him a liar. And that's what's happened. I'll put it to you this way. That's why I am so, you know, active in the black community trying to tell them that what they've been told and what they are being told is a lie.
Mm-hmm.
You got to understand
here in the Appalachia, because that's where I'm located. I don't know if you remember our first conversations as I was starting to listen to Tracy over a year ago. you know, I'm located in the Appalachia area. And, you know, there's such a stigmatism for Appalachia people. And it breaks my heart because I'm raising two of my grandsons in this community. And I can go 10 minutes from my home. Now, I do live in the country, so I don't have pizza shops and gas stations close to where I live. But mm-hmm. take 10, 15 minutes. And in those areas, you can count on both of your hands the different organizations that have been developed by the government. And I know that the politicians have made it a big thing to get them all in there. It doesn't help the people. These people are still hungry. They are still unemployed. They get horrible health care. There are a select, we probably have 13 schools, you know, and we're right backed up. I mean, this county is the backed up county that's to Tracy's Youngstown. Okay? We live, I mean, I can drive to where Tracy's radio station is in about 45 minutes from my house. And, you know, we've heard her stories, and they are all true. You know, children being killed on the streets. They're running drugs. You know, there's nothing in the town anymore. And I'm 50. I'll be 58 this year. I remember when you used to go downtown Youngstown, it was a booming, thriving. You made weekends to go there. There were blacks and there were whites, South. And we all were in this together. Working together, sending our kids to school together. Now we're all apart. And what's happened in Youngstown is now happening in Columbiana County. And yet the politicians, the judges, the lawyers, they're driving Hummers and nice vehicles, sending their kids to these select private schools. They're going to healthcare facilities that are so much nicer than what we're ever offered as local people. Now, Styx is a farm guy. He's on the west side of where I'm at. But there are programs just developed every stinking month, and they employ government people. That's all they do. That's all they do. It's got to stop. And what needs to stop is all the government and probably the entitlement thing, the government programs, and just start over again, just start all over again.
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, I think they've just made people lazy. That's what's happened. And they become complacent. They're just like, well, I can't do it. Maybe they've convinced them that they can't do any better, so they just give up. And that's
Bonnie. But, Bonnie, the problem with what you're saying is if we take out all the government, who's going to protect us with corporations? Because if you leave it to the free market without regulation, without government doing something, it's going to be a grain of muck. You're going to have more people. You're going to have CEOs and people who are going to take advantage of that, and then you're going to really feel hell. So we need to have something also to not allow that to happen. Because don't forget, we've tried to have no regulation. Look what happened. It almost crashed our system in 2008 when it happened. When you have no government interfering, Bonnie, things happen. You know, banking some stuff.
When you got a situation where you're saying there's no regulation, yeah, you've got regulation out there. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. With the history that we have in this country, regulations did exist and does exist. What you're saying is what these people want is total and complete control by the government, which is never good. It is never good, and I just can't see that.
And I agree with you, but I can't see what you're saying also to have no regulation. By the way, in 2008...
You got regulation then.
Yes,
you
but
got
in
regulation.
Wait. So, what the bank did, they did it because they had no regulation to do it. If they had regulation, they would have never crashed the system. It was regulation that allowed them to do the product that they did.
No, Stanley, here's the thing that you're not looking at, man. You're looking at one segment of the government, okay? And that segment was the banking industry, all right? The banking industry. The banking industry was what caused the crash. The banking and the mortgage industry was what started it. Okay. Now, if you're going to be specific to them, then I can say there's some issues there. But the rest of the free market system didn't have a damn thing to do with this. Okay. It didn't have nothing to do with it, and you can't say that it had something to do with it. The mom and pop store that's participating in the free market system had nothing to do with it.
And I agree
the way you're saying it, it was their fault.
No, I'm not saying it was their fault. I'm not saying that. I'm talking about the big corporation, the bankers, and everything
Not every corporation is a banking corporation. Okay.
Okay. What I'm saying is, if you want to be more precise, the bankers had no regulation, and because they had no regulation, they were allowed to almost crash the system and almost brought bring us to depression. And by the way, go ahead.
The problem is the bankers did have regulations.
They did have
regulation. It's just not – there was no enforcement.
We've got
gun laws, but nobody.
South Carolina, the glass ceiling was taken out by the president-elect Clinton. That was taken out. There was a lot of regulation that was out. The banker could start taking a commercial account.
Become responsible then for administrating, 250 million people. And there was no answers. No one had given any thought to economics. How are you going to clothe and feed these people? The only thing that I could get was that they expected that the Cubans and the North Vietnamese and the Chinese and the Russians would all want to occupy different portions of the United States. They also believed that their immediate responsibility would be to protect against what they called the counter-revolution. And they felt that this counter-revolution could best be guarded against by creating and establishing re-education centers in the Southwest, where we would take all the people who needed to be re-educated into the new way of thinking and teach them how things were going to be. I ask, well, what is going to happen to those people that we can't re-educate, that are die-hard capitalists? And the reply was that they'd have to be eliminated. And when I pursued this further, they estimated that they would have to eliminate 25 million people in these re-education centers. And when I say eliminate, I mean kill 25 million people. I want you to imagine sitting in a room with 25 people, most of which have graduate degrees from Columbia and other well-known educational centers, and hear them figuring out the logistics for the elimination of 25 million people. And they were dead serious.
Kind of freaky.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSLM AM 600. Wanted to get your take on that.
That was Larry Graswell, who was an FBI informant for the Weather Underground, and this was a meeting with Bel Air's and the Weather Underground, and his report of it.
And I'm going to play another clip that came out today in reference to the White House. The drone strikes against citizens is ethical as well as wise. So I want to...
responsibilities very seriously, and first and foremost, that's his responsibility to protect the United States and American citizens. He also takes his responsibility in conducting the war against al-Qaeda as authorized by Congress in a way that is fully consistent with our Constitution and all the applicable laws. We have acknowledged the United States that sometimes we use remotely piloted aircraft to conduct targeted strikes against specific al-Qaeda terrorists in order to prevent attacks on the United States and to save American lives. We conduct those strikes because they are necessary to mitigate ongoing actual threats, to stop plots, prevent future attacks, and again, save American lives. These strikes are legal, they are ethical, and they are wise. The U.S. government takes great care in deciding to pursue an al-Qaeda terrorist to ensure precision and to avoid loss of innocent life. As you know, in spite of these stories, I mean, or prior to these stories, this administration, through numerous senior administration officials, including Deputy National Security and Counterterrorism Advisor John Brennan, State Department Legal Advisor Harold Coe, and former Department of Defense General Counsel Jay Johnson, have spoken publicly and at length about the U.S. commitment to conducting counterterrorism operations in accordance with all applicable domestic and international law, including the laws of war. In March 2012, the Attorney General gave a speech at Northwestern University Law School in which he outlined the legal framework that would apply if it was necessary to take a strike against one of the, quote, small number of U.S. citizens who have decided to commit violent acts against their own country from abroad. The Attorney General made clear that in taking such a strike, the government must take into account all relevant constitutional considerations, but that under generations-old legal principles and Supreme Court decisions, U.S. citizenship alone does not make a leader of an enemy force immune from being targeted.
But how can the government decide that there is an imminent threat if there's no evidence that an attack is happening in the immediate future?
As you know, Congress authorized an authorization of the use of military force, all necessary military force to be used in our fight against al-Qaeda. And certainly under that authority, the President acts in the United States' interest to protect the United States and its citizens from al-Qaeda. The nature of the fight against al-Qaeda and its affiliates is certainly different from the kinds of conflicts that have involved nations and against nations. But this has been discussed amply, again, in the effort that we have made through our senior administration officials to explain the process that we use by the officials I named, by John Brennan in a speech, and he addressed this very issue about imminent. I would point you to the now-released, it was not meant for public release, but it's not classified, the now-released white paper, which goes into some detail on that very issue.
Should the American people be comfortable with the administration's definition of imminent if it also means that there is no specific evidence to back that up?
Well, again, I think that what you have in general with al-Qaeda, senior leadership, is a continuing process of plotting against the United States and American citizens, plotting attacks against the United States and American citizens. I think that's fairly irrefutable. What you also have is the authorization for the use of military force by Congress. You also have a president who is very mindful of the very questions that you are asking and is, in his capacity as commander-in-chief, taking all the necessary steps to ensure that he fulfills his constitutional obligation to protect the United States and its citizens and does so in a way that comports with our Constitution and with our laws.
Did he sign off on this memo and any classified documents to back it up?
Well, I certainly have no information on any classified documents. I don't know the specific process by which this memo was generated.
You are not, we are not, as American citizens, we are not in a place where we are helpless. We just have not learned how to engage in the system to make things go the way they should.
See, I'm torn about this.
What do you mean?
Well, for example.
Okay.
If in World War II you were an American citizen of German descent,
yes,
and at the beginning of the war, you got on a boat and you went back to Germany and you enlisted in the Weimar, in the army.
Okay.
Did the U.S. government have a right to shoot you? In Germany?
Are you an American citizen? But
you've enlisted in a. Basically, it's a treason issue, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah,
but we don't teach people the difference between being patriotic and being a stand-up citizen and speaking up for what they don't believe in. Well,
Tracy,
that was not me, y'all, because everybody explains me for those things. I didn't do it. You did it, Sticks.
I did it.
Okay.
The thing about it is, it only takes a stroke of a pen to make it go from Al Qaeda to some militia group out in Montana.
Yeah, we need to be careful of some stuff, Sticks.
I know we do.
But
who's going to make a difference?
Tracy.
Yeah?
The problem that I'm hearing, everything, that basically we're doing nation building. We're basically deciding, like what journalists said, you have no proof that those people are attacking us or doing something, and you're basically going to send drones and just kill them without due process, without accusing them, without arresting them, without doing anything, and just because they meet and you don't believe what they're doing, you're just going to kill them. Who gets the right to do that?
I got a problem with that.
I got a problem with that. That's a blowback. If we continue doing that, don't be surprised that 9/11 won't be the same 9/11. I won't hear America say, I don't understand how it happened. It happened because you do blowbacks like this.
But Stanley, your president put this program on steroids.
Yeah, but your Republican didn't avoid it and said it was against it. Every Republican and Democrat are in agreement with that. And that started all the way to you.
No,
I got to pick up some other calls, but go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
Okay, Judge Rolls ruled against Obama of his taking of people's pensions, the 401ks and such, which the government is planning to do. But what I really wanted to know, yesterday one of your fellows said that they was going to have a Supreme Court hearing on his birth certificate. And I wanted to know the date of that, please.
You're going to have to call back on probably on Friday when Jeff comes in, because I wasn't here when they talked about that.
Okay.
I'm sorry. If I find out, I'll try to tell you, but I don't have a clue.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. 248-438, your mic is on. Seven two four, your mic is on.
Hi, Tracy.
Hey, how are you, Larry?
Good. I sent you a text. I'm just listening. I'm in a bad area, so I just called in on my phone. That's all.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you did that.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
Tracy 438 is Mia Stanley.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just saying.
That's the problem I have with what you said. I have a problem with that.
Stanley and I are on the same picture, and I'm not. I'm just saying, you know, listen to this. If you don't like my church because of what I preach, and right now I preach against some things that upset the majority of people, and so if I'm saying things that you don't like, and you don't agree with what I'm saying, what happens when, say, President Obama's not there, but I get another president, and he says, I'm of a terrorist group.
I didn't say outside of the country, outside of the confines of the borders of the United States. I look at this as treason.
Okay.
And Stanley, I hope we're talking about the same thing, because I'm talking about U.S. citizens. I'm talking about U.S. citizens working with a known terrorist faction to bring harm to the United States.
But you should. But if I'm still a U.S. citizen, even so, you don't. You can't.
Do you realize if Richard Nixon would have had this, he could have took Bill Ayers out with a drone.
But do you realize there's a due process, and America is too dirty. I mean, America's dirty.
Go back to my German guy.
Listen, I don't care about your German guy, because he could, even if you joined the military and he was naive about the military, whatever. What I'm saying is, America is dirty. And we need to quit acting like America is, oh, this wonderful, sweet, home of the brave and land of the free, and they've always been this true, because it's not true.
Well, I agree with you there.
And if you think that America will not come back and kick somebody else in the teeth, we are sadly mistaken.
And I understand that, and I'm afraid of that.
And so,
don't get me wrong. I'm scared of death.
Even when I look at the death penalty. And I know I'm a Republican, but I get leery about the death penalty and the court process and the due process, because unless they are actually factual, they have DNA proof beyond a reasonable doubt, before we start putting needles in people's eyes unless you can catch them with a smoking gun and a picture. We got Photoshop.
I agree.
So if the CIA evidence, they swooping down that this is what we need to do, and we need to do this, and we need to do that, and we go to war, and we know that this there, but we can't prove it, and we don't need to have any gray areas with this.
Yeah.
And attacking American citizens without due process is not a good thing for America to put on the books.
Well, Obama already did it.
Well, you know, he does.
Al Walkie.
He does what he chooses. But we don't. In fact,
Stanley, I don't believe President Bush ever killed an American citizen with a drone.
Good morning, Tracy.
Hold on.
They would have used drones on Martin Luther King and Malcolm X.
Yeah.
You know, the United States is dirty.
I love my country.
First president of Ghana, Nkrumah, was assassinated. Patrice Lumumba of the Congo was assassinated. I can go on and on down the line.
I mean,
And
when I look at America, you got to understand, they wiretapped the people because they wanted to go to the bathroom.
I know what we've done.
That's only been 40 years ago.
I'm not arguing about anything you said.
If I go overseas and I'm a missionary and I join up something over there and it's, you know, and they call it a militia group that's out to spread
hate and discontent.
Right, against America because I'm preaching Jesus Christ. And America comes over there and takes me out.
They've already done that. They did it with Al Walkie.
That's a problem.
Because it could be the same thing. Like, let's reverse the role. Let's say that we plan to do something against their country. Do they have the right? Let's say they have the technology to send a drone and kill us.
Not
because
the same
thing. We're a threat for them.
Wait, Six,
I want Six to answer that question.
Stanley, you got to listen to what South Carolina, I think you went over the cliff with that one. So go ahead, South Carolina, explain to him exactly what the difference.
Okay, the Constitution, and as I remember, or the oath that I took, I protect and defend the Constitution from enemies, all enemies, foreign and domestic. Okay.
Right.
Now here's the problem you run into. If you are a U.S. military fighting man, okay, and if you go and start fighting for another country, okay, that's fighting against America, number one, it's treasonous, and number two, then you become an enemy combatant. If you go to Africa as a U.S. citizen or go to any other country and you join forces with someone that is a sworn enemy of the United States, you'll be treated just like an enemy combatant. And if in the process of trying to eliminate that enemy, you are killed, you basically become collateral damage. Okay, but when you say that you're going to take up arms against the United States and United States citizens, you know even though you are a U.S. citizen, you become an enemy. So that's where that comes in. That's that gray area, and people want to get emotional about it, but there's nothing to get emotional about. It's black and white there, really.
The thing is that America's, the Constitution guarantees you due process. In the Fifth Amendment, it guarantees specifically blacks due process in the 14th Amendment. So there's nothing wrong with doing just that, but people deserve due process.
But, Pianchi, you effectively... When you join a foreign fighting force against the United States, do you effectively give up your American citizenship or not?
Well, it's my understanding. Don't you have... Well, let me ask this. Because, see, do you... America does not allow dual citizenship. Am I correct?
I can't answer that question.
Does anybody know?
Well, in some countries, it recognizes it recognizes what is called dual nationality.
Dual nationality, but about dual citizenship.
And you're right about the dual citizenship because you are oaths to fight to protect the same United States and protect that country too. So what happens if the United States goes to war against the country you have a citizenship with?
See, that's my question because I'm looking at this and saying, okay, if we are looking at dual citizenship and you are a –
That's right. I think, didn't Michelle Bachmann have dual citizenship, Switzerland and U.S.?
Don't know. All I know is...
she gave up her Swiss citizenship.
If I have,
I believe.
If I have dual citizenship...
I'll look it up.
Then there's a problem. But if I don't have dual citizenship and I'm going into somebody else's army, I shouldn't be in a citizen of America being in someone else's military. Because once I join someone else's military, I should have, that should have nullified my citizenship here in America. No, yeah.
That's what I was saying.
When you join
an organization that is bent on attacking the United States, have you de facto given up your American citizenship?
But the question is that how the law is written? Because if I'm still an American citizen, you should be treating me as one, even if I'm fighting in someone else's war, or if not, change the law so that if I go and join a military effort, then I de facto deny my citizenship.
Well, Tracy, if you take up
arms against the United States, is that too much common sense?
Well, if you take up arms against the United States, then you are an enemy combatant, a domestic enemy combatant.
Okay, but taking me out with a drone in a military action is not like taking me out with a civil police action. You follow me? If I pick up a gun...
Here's the thing that you run into, okay? Say, for instance, I went over to say, Botswana, and I'm over there, and I align myself with a terrorist group over there, and I'm fighting and everything else, and in the course of that fighting... okay, for them, against the U.S., a drone strike comes in and kills me. Okay, because I'm an American citizen, okay, by your definition, okay, my family could actually sue the federal government for wrongful death. Because I was a United States citizen and I was denied due process, and they killed me.
I just got a note from Bill, who's my researcher, and he says you can be a regular citizen and have a dual citizenship, but you can't if you're the president. Okay.
I just pulled that up. Michelle Bachmann, because of her marriage, was a Swiss American citizen.
Okay.
She gave up her Swiss citizenship.
So my question is, what changes my foreign issues, my foreign citizenship, or what's going on over that way from my current? Well, let me put it this way. If I join someone else's military, there ought to be a law that says I don't belong to the United States. But if I'm a United States citizen, I still deserve dual citizenship so that you can prove that I did something wrong before you take military action against me.
So you're saying
if you shoot me with a gun, if I'm going to shoot you sticks and the police shoot me, they classify that as a good shoot
or a righteous shoot.
That's different.
I got a question. So if Ben Bernanke had dual citizenship, and let's just say America ever goes to war with Israel, why are you cutting me off? South Carolina.
Hold on.
I'm just making.
South Carolina. Let him get it out. Then come back.
Tracy, I'm acting like a house nigga. Bernanke is from Dillon, South Carolina. That's where he was born and raised. He does not own dual citizenship. End of story.
But that's
okay.
Not about it. But he was doing a hypothetical one, wasn't he?
Go ahead, Bianchi. Get it out.
That wasn't Bianchi. That was Chicago. Go ahead, Chicago.
Yeah.
Because I really want to
beat up on Israel. Go ahead.
Oh, he will beat up on Israel. Okay, go ahead. Beat up on Israel.
No, I'm not. I'm just saying if a Jew has dual citizenship with Israel, and let's just say America goes to war with Israel, just to saying that, what's going to happen to them? What side they going to pick?
Well, they got to pick a side, just like the Germans and the Japanese did.
I don't think America's going to war with Israel. Y'all can
cancel
that.
We sent Japanese.
Why would you say that?
They should, but go ahead. I'm listening. I want to cut in.
314, your mic is on.
Yeah, that is me, 314.
Okay. My question is, do we have laws? I mean,
We need, that's a slippery slope of hypotheticals
to deal with.
But I would have a problem when, because they tell me that drones are now traveling throughout America or going to be.
Yeah, there's 10,000 drones going to be flying over the United States.
So why do you have drones flying over the United States to do what?
Why do you have the Department of Agriculture outfitting a SWAT team?
Huh?
Department of Agriculture is outfitting a SWAT team.
What does that mean?
They're buying guns and bullets for the Department of Agriculture.
Why?
418,000 rounds.
I don't understand.
You guys know.
We might have a cow rebellion.
You guys know I rode the little bus to school. I don't understand what we have. Why?
Every
agriculture means what? Doesn't that mean the stuff that grows?
Hey, the Department of Forestry is buying guns. Every government agency is buying guns and ammunition.
Hold on, wait a minute. Why are they buying guns?
Well, I don't know. How much of a conspiracy theory are we allowed to have?
Today we can go pretty far because I'm a little confused. I mean, we tell farmers not to farm, but you get. Well, we're gonna carry guns, like the Wild West. Why are they buying guns?
There's a lot of people that say they're preparing for an insurrection.
Hold on, hey Larry, why are we buying guns?
Well, I mean, Stick's got a point. I mean, how far do you want to go into conspiracy? But it's not just the Department of Agriculture, Social Security Administration. Department of Homeland Security. They bought, and it's out there. It's under the GSA report. They've got enough bullets, hollow point bullets, by the way, to put 6 slugs in every American breathing today in the United States. Now, why do they need that? Unless they're preparing, just like he said, for some kind of insurrection. And I'd just like to know what's going on so I can prepare. Was that the preppers you were calling about? The preppers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, now let me break this down for a minute. We are in debt up to our eyeballs. They want everybody in America to turn in any kind of gun that can do any kind of damage, especially if you're a legal citizen and you're going to go and do background checks and all that. They want you to register everything that you own when it comes to firepower. But the military is going to have guns, but so is the Department of Social Security and Agriculture. They're buying guns. Who going to shoot them guns?
In the Internal Revenue Service, they're buying
guns.
And
get you some black Talon bullets. That's all I can say.
Who going? Wait a minute, but I got a question. If I work for Social Security, who going to shoot them guns?
Well, if we start adding things up here, the United States is the only, and this is just super crazy conspiracy theory.
Oh man.
The United States is the only country on the planet where the landowner owns the minerals. And if Jeff's right and they want to destroy the Middle East and redo a world currency based on oil, and the United States has all the oil, but the United States don't have all the oil because the landowners own all the oil, what's going to happen when you start telling these landowners out in the country that are heavily armed that we're going to take all your royalty checks?
Guess what?
You're going to have problems.
So wait a minute, hold on, wait a minute. Let me get this straight, because I got to take a break. Because this conspiracy conversation is really amusing to me. Let's go here for a minute. So let's connect the dots. Okay. They take our guns. They take so that we can't defend ourselves. They buy guns so they can come back and shoot me. I own my minerals. They come and take my money and my minerals, and they keep me entitled and sleep.
And the police department in Chicago says they ain't coming if you call them.
And the police department, then the po-po won't show up unless I got a gun in my hand and I'm going to kill somebody in a big place. And I got little
kids.
No,
even if you're getting ready to kill yourself.
Well, that's all right, because we're trying to get rid of all the people that's crazy anyhow. Don't worry about it. So, wait a minute, I got to finish my thought because, you know, I'm a little slow. But the Constitution that I'm sitting up here watching, reading, saying, we the people. So the reason why we the people own the land and own the minerals in the land is because the people actually govern the government. But for some reason, the government has lulled the people to sleep, and so now you got some bunch of wackos who's getting ready to kill you while you sleep. So that they can take over and take the we the people out, and it'll be just me. Am I getting that right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, I'm going to leave South Carolina. Run the chat room. I got to take a break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends.
Yeah, don't run it into the ground.
I don't do that.
That's what my grandmother would say. Yeah, that's what my grandmother said. Yeah, you're going to run that right into the ground.
That was before I became,
a pilot. Oh, how Israel provided nuclear weapons to the P.T. Botha regime in South Africa.
No, that's not going
to use on other black countries.
No. I'm talking about the other one.
Oh, that's something that's in Mississippi.
How do they treat the Ethiopians?
Yeah, they got them in basically prison camps. Make them get recircumcised. How in the hell are you going to get recircumcised?
What about the Palestinian, the way that Israel is treating them also? That's not even go there. South Carolina, why are we supporting Israel when they do crazy things also?
Well, you explain that one to me, Sam. I mean, what's crazy thing?
I don't know. I'm explaining. I don't understand.
Define to me crazy.
Well, Palestine wants a small territory of Jerusalem, and basically they don't want them to have that power, and they're both fighting for territory.
Okay.
And the only reason that Israel is so strong is because we give so much money every year to have them weapons, and if it wasn't for that, they wouldn't be so strong. And also, he invaded a country that was already not theirs. There was already somebody there before them.
So tell me. Let me get this straight. Okay? You're telling me that the land that Israel had was granted by what I think is called a United Nations Charter in 1948? They shouldn't have it?
No. I don't think they should have it. Was there some people before them? Yes or no?
I think they were there.
They were there?
No, they weren't there.
They weren't there. Palestinian was there before them.
No white folks in that part of the world.
Exactly. So some people just came up and say, hey,
here's a problem. You're assuming that all Jews are white.
No, I'm not assuming Jews are white. I'm not saying
well, all the ones.
Wait a minute.
When you look at their parliament, they all white. When you look at their the deciders and decision makers, they all white. Wonder how that just happens to be. And another point. Wonder what the conversation is.
All Jews are white.
I didn't say all Jews was white. Jew is a person that followed Judaism. That's a religion.
Yeah.
But I wonder what the discussion would be if they had went to Uganda and took that as their return homeland as they initially had planned.
But they did not go to Uganda.
The fact that they did not does not supervent the mental action, the mental thought that they wanted to go to Uganda.
Exactly. It doesn't justify the means, South Carolina. It would be like me coming over to your place and living before and saying, you know what, I'm going to invade your place and fuck you.
South Carolina?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. So it would be like somebody coming to your place that you lived before and saying, you know what? We own that place. And we're kicking you out. How would you feel about that?
What do you mean? How would I feel about that?
Yeah, how would you feel about that?
Family, here's the problem you're running into, okay? The issue that you have is, number one, you don't believe in the Bible.
Yeah.
So if you don't believe in the Bible,
but the Bible has nothing to do with this.
So you're saying that they're there because of the Bible? Something you can't even argue in court. You can't argue myths.
Yes, you can.
It has nothing to do with the Bible.
Yes, you can.
No, you cannot.
Why can't you, Margaret?
Name me something factual.
Something factual.
You might be able to argue the Bible.
You may be able to argue the Bible in a court when a black man is on trial.
Hold on.
You're saying that there were never any Jews in the Middle East. Not in Palestine, not in Jordan.
Well, wait a minute. Let's use the right word, because there was no J's in the alphabet back during those times.
Hold on a second. All right, now what you're doing is you're going to a whole different argument.
We're going to a historical argument, not a mythical one.
Listen to me. Have you ever read the Russian language? How many letters in their alphabet? And you tell me, compared to the English language.
There was no Russian language or English language during that time.
I tell you this though. I tell you what. You do not believe. Because historically, there's things that's been proved.
There was no Judaism back during that time. It was spelled with an I. It was no Judaism, and the people surely wouldn't have been the people that's there today.
Let me tell you something.
Yah was the God for the Yahwehs.
Bianchi, I'm gonna tell you something now. You can take a language, and you can chop it all to hell. You can eliminate all your letters, all you want to, but it still does not change the fact that these individuals were God's chosen people. Okay?
It wasn't. That's not true. South Carolina, where have you been out of this country, man?
Where have you been out of this country?
That is totally not true.
He used to bring me food.
Yeah, I'm guilty. I need to bring you some more.
You used to bring me food, but you didn't bring me. You never brought me food. I brought in this wonderful. What are these called? Some kind of oranges, cutie oranges, little tiny oranges. But I've sucked up like six of them since I've been sitting here, and they're really not hitting the bottom of my stomach. So this ain't working.
You need some Ezekiel bread.
I need something with some stuff. That costs too much. I got a feeling that they're talking crazy in the chat room. I was reading the chat room and they're special in there.
Hey Tracy.
So I'm afraid.
This could
go ahead and open it back up.
Yeah. This is gonna go somewhere I probably didn't want it to go. But we'll see. Hey, what are you guys talking about now? Because between Pyongyang and Chicago, for some reason they think they're the lost tribe of Israel.
Tracy, let me put it to you this way, okay? I'm going to put it to you this way. I despise, with everything that's in me, a racist, whether they're black or white. And anyone that bases their religion on the color of their skin is a racist to their core. I don't care how they try to dress it up.
Hold on, Chicago. Let me finish the statement. I'll pull you in.
If he goes by the Bible.
Michigan, hold on. Chicago, let him finish his statement. I'll bring you in. What are you saying? What are you talking? Because remember, those of us here on terrestrial radio, we don't know what you're talking about. So what are you saying? What are you talking about, South Carolina?
I am talking about. We were having a discussion in the room concerning Israel and so on and so forth, and it kind of segued into the fact that there was no J in that language, and the fact that there was some other things, and we started talking about some other stuff, and then all of a sudden, you know, Bianchi started talking about the color of a Jew, or it got degraded into that, and I got to the point where I was saying. There is anybody, when we came back in, I just kind of stopped, but anyone that bases their religion on the color of their skin and disregards or discounts someone else's religion because of the color of their skin is racist at its core, and I despise it.
Well, that's not true.
Hold on, Pionki. I told Michigan I'd pull him up next. Yeah, Michigan? I'm sorry. I mean, Chicago, go ahead.
Hold on, Chicago. Chicago, are you there? Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. One at a time, because I want to hear this, because I got my own thoughts and my own comments on this, but I'm going to let everybody get that, get breathe and get it out. Go ahead, Chicago.
Well, if Carolina, if he goes directly by the Bible tells you the skin color of those people. I don't know if Moses was white. Was he? Was his skin color white?
He was not European. I'll give you that.
Okay. That doesn't make any difference to me. But hold on. If you're a Bible person, what do you go by?
I don't care.
You go directly by the Bible.
Chicago.
Now you twisting stuff.
Listen to what I'm saying. I don't care. I mean, seriously, I don't care what color Moses. I don't care what color Jews. I don't care what color Jesus. I don't care what color Paul. I really don't care what nationality or race they were. I could care less. Because I believe that I'm not supposed to look at people as by a race. I'm supposed to look at them by a spirit if you really want to know the truth about it.
And if you want to go clear back into the Old Testament, there was a way for anybody to become a Jew. There was a ritual that any person of any race could be brought into to be a Jew.
Somewhat, no.
Well, then you join the club. I'm talking about biologically. The people that created. Now, if you don't want me to talk, tell me, and I can go on someplace else. I'm just going to take 15 seconds.
All right, I'm counting.
Now, the people that created this ideology, they created it for themselves. As time has went by, others came along and have shaped it to where it is present today. Judaism existed long before Christianity, which existed long before Islam. So we have to be truthful about that.
Okay. But what does that have to do with the price of rice?
I eat brown rice.
So I guess I'm a racist because of that, too.
I mean, go ahead, Stanley.
The thing we were really debating, and the question I was asking is, why is the United States supporting Israel when the Palestinians had that territory and they just walked all over and took that back?
Okay, Stanley, let's go to how this happened. Back in 1948, Israel became a nation based after a war, and they asked what they wanted, and they tried to give them somewhere else, and they said that they wanted this piece of land here, and they gave it to them.
Okay,
so hold on, Stanley. That was the Cliff Note version of it, and I don't want to go into, and I will bring someone who can give us a little bit better history of that. Now, if you believe in Bible prophecy, and if you don't, you have to go by what it said, because it was a prophecy that was given for that Israel would come back to that land, and that Israel is God's chosen people, and that he, because of their abominations, he scattered them all over, and they would start coming back into Israel. Okay.
Hold on, guys.
Stop. If you don't believe it, chew on it and deal with it, because I'm just saying how you asked. I'm talking about factually as well as biblically what it was said.
That sounds like Stanley. If he's Haitian, that sounds like Stanley.
It's not
about like Carolina, even though he sounds like a house Negro, but that sounds like him too.
Listen, I'm not telling you to believe what I said. I'm just telling you what's going on here. It is. I mean, you asked me, and whether you would believe it or not,
right?
Whether you believe it or not, it is what it is. I mean, you got to understand, they didn't have the land. It was Palestine, and it was given back to Israel, and it was the land that they said that they wanted, and whether you believe it or not, it is what it is. And so people say that they don't belong there because it was given to them, and it's like you took some land and said it was somebody else, so you moved me out of my house and put somebody else in it. That's what people are saying. Am I correct?
No, you had some white folks that just took some people's land. You got to go back further than that. Go back to Herschel and the Balfour Agreement.
If you go back to there, you'll find out if I go to war with you, I can take what I want from you. Only America goes to war, tears up some stuff, and then gives it back to the people that they that got it from.
Well,
I'm not figuring that out.
I agree with you. That's how black folks in America lost their land, too. They got
that's
their
what I'm saying.
Kicked.
I mean, I don't understand how
they
you go to war,
cow down.
Win the war, and then come out from the war and give the land back to the people that you won the war from. I'm confused, but that's just me. But I'm just saying, I'm just going through what happened. So they gave the land to Jews.
Well, I agree with you that when you go to war and you beat somebody, you take their land. That's how black people lost their land, and they're still losing it today.
And so I'm walking through this little story, and so whether you believe it or don't believe it, it is happening. America and Israel have been friends for a very long time. They've been allies. They spy on each other, you know. But friends do that. Friends are there when you need them, and maybe they're not. But they really had an alliance. Now, you have to understand the Israeli, not the Israeli, but the Islamic way of thought. Their belief system is anything outside of their belief is an infidel. America's personality has been one of, I am the friend of the world. I am the friend of the world, and I will come and to your rescue for everyone, and I am everybody's savior, which made America a superpower because everything across the world was actually put on the dollar. So everywhere you go in the world, they speak every other language, but they speak English too. They also speak, and they also currency will they will take a dollar, whether no matter the value of it. And then when we took our money off the gold standard and put it onto the OPEC standard, which was a dumb thing to do, which goes into what we were talking about, conspiracy theories, it changed everything for the future. So when you look at all these things that have happened, you may not think that Israel should be there. That's your choice. You may not think that Jews should be there. That's your choice. But the spoils of war and how it came about, whether you believe or not, it is what it is. And America has been their ally for years. And America will never go, even if they put Israel down, I will guarantee you the Islamics will never forgive America for ever being friends with Israel. So you're not going to, they're like, they're going to change their best friends from one side to the other, because that's not going to happen. And we need to be honest about that. That you will always be an infidel, and the only way that you will change that is if America converts all of America to Islam. Do we agree?
No, I don't agree.
Do you really think that if we were to blow up Israel, that the Islam nations or the Arab-speaking nations will come over here and embrace America and say, we are now your friends, be America?
Well, if we would stop attacking them, doing blowbacks, and if we would stop acting like we're the protector of Israel, but we don't care about what happened with the Muslims, yeah, things would change.
Do you really believe that?
Yes, I do. Because 9/11 was why did 9/11 happen, Tracy?
9/11 happened for a number of things, I believe.
Well, what was one of the main reasons when Bin Laden was doing his speech? And telling exactly why he did it.
Stanley, the Muslims, the radical nut job Muslims, want everybody on this planet to be Muslim. And if you're not Muslim, they want you dead.
The problem with what you're saying is, who invented Bin Laden? Who was the one who basically supported him and gave him the weapon when we needed him?
There was somebody before Bin Laden.
Listen. Stanley, don't yell in the phone. Y'all.
Hold on, Stanley.
Let me take a break in a minute. Don't yell in the phone. Don't go crazy. I've got a lot of calls going on here, and I'm going to try to get to everybody. But we want everyone to hear the conversation. And if you want to join it, please do. The number is 347-945-5229. Go ahead, Six.
There have been radical Islams at war with the Muslims and war with the United States since the 1970s.
six, that was not the question I asked you. I said, who invented Bin Laden? Who was responsible?
Stanley, Bin Laden is just one in a long line.
I don't care about the rest. I'm asking you, who was responsible for getting with what?
I'll answer the question for you.
Listen,
America, the country that I love, for some reason, their arrogance, they think they know everything.
There you go.
And they don't. And America puts people in power thinking that they're going to be able to control them long terms. For some reason, they think that their greed, their power, and their arrogance is going to shape people into becoming conforming to who they are. I don't know who grew up and told America that they were God.
Right.
Because we're not.
I'm not sure which American put the outgoing president of Egypt in power, but Barack Obama put the one that's in there now. It's just another side of the same coin. We keep doing this over and over. Right.
And
American put Mubarak in power.
Republican
and Democrat.
Again,
right.
America's arrogance. But again, America's arrogance. But you have to understand the mind thought of people who are Islamists. If you are a, it's like a devout Jew who still walks on the Sabbath, or a devout Islamist. If you are really going and you're stuck inside of the Quran, as a matter of fact, people who say, I'm not going to call them Christians because they're not, people who have misinformation of the Bible can be so bad that they will actually be in bondage in that which was came to free them. Local call, your mic is on.
Yeah, this is Steve.
Yes, Steve.
It's Tracy.
A showcase of
go ahead.
It's Tracy. I believe that...
Is my mic on, Tracy?
Hold on. Yeah, your mic's on. Go ahead, Steve.
I believe that the Arab nations hate the United States because of our policies and because we wronged them first by going into their nation and overthrowing. All you have to do is go back to the Shah of Iran. It's coming up in 60 years. When our government, CIA, went into Iran and overthrew that government, when it was similar like our government, and set up a puppet government. And I think that's part of the reason why that they hate the United States.
It's deeper than that.
Because of Israel, because we back and support them, but that's pretty much the reason. I think it's pretty much our own policies. Yes, we're arrogant, and it's a certain group of people, and they've always been arrogant. For some reason, it's in their DNA to be warlike people. But this country has always been arrogant. It's always thought it was better than other nations are. And so now, because we have the Islamic people, being so much hate the United States, I still goes back. If we never was over in that region, never.
But again, it goes back so many years. And let me take my break. I'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends.
65 years.
Well, see, here's the point. Yeah, I guess that's right. And not to be jumping on sticks, but that's white folks doing that stuff. Covina man of South Carolina said something about racism. See, we say American in one tone, but in another tone we talk whites and blacks. Let's say what it is. Blacks never had anything to do with this stuff. That's whites that's done it. White imperialist-minded people that done that. And they still exist today.
Right.
Yeah. It's the mentality that they say that we think we know more than other countries. And then when Bin Laden's working for us, he's a patriot. He's good. But when he's working against us, he's a terrorist. Really?
Yeah, it's the white moderates.
It's like... That's one thing that I don't get. I don't get.
Well, one of the things I think America is how would you say that? It's like a walking contradiction. what it is, what it stands for. It's a, in other words, it's like in chess, they got a, it's a move that's called zigzag, which means every move you make is a bad move. And so America really doesn't have any solid universal principles that it stand on, which they should go back to and see if they can adopt Mayotte. And so because they don't have that.
Well, they ain't going to adopt that.
I know. Now, you know.
That'd be like The Exorcist coming out.
they need to adopt Mayotte, which would keep them balanced. And when you have that, you don't create the mind state of we're better, we're going to save the world, we're the savior of the world, and the world needs a savior.
And
you don't get that.
Crossing.
You don't get that out of the. You don't get that out of the theology and the philosophy of Mayotte. You get that out of Christianity and pretty much all of the social theories that Europeans have created. That's what it comes out of. That's why you know it's theirs. And they.
And you know,
you
here's a funny thing.
Yeah.
Back at the Council of Nicaea when they created Jesus, Constantine, in the doctrine, they was totally against usury. And we know who created usury. So you have to ask yourself, how in the heck did white power systems go from being totally against usury all of a sudden now it's like it's as common as mom and apple pie?
Yeah. And like you said, another practical example is different between beliefs and facts. This the concept of God's chosen people, right? This is new.
This only comes on
the scene when white folk come on the scene.
God's chosen people, Septeppenra, existed in the name of Ramesh II back in the 19th dynasty.
Yeah.
Ursa Mara, Septeppenra, Ramesh Umariamman. So they chose, they just copied that name and that slogan
right.
And used it as they did everything else.
Yeah.
So the funny thing about the Bible, though, Michigan Man.
Yeah.
In the Old Testament, the Yahwehist, who created Yah, was against usury. You go into the New Testament, all of a sudden it pops up and it's fine. It's okay. Nothing wrong with it.
Well, one of the things that I was talking to one brother, what has to happen, and it's going to happen, is that, and you have a lot of scholars who can do that, it's reverse engineer that particular book back into the Medjineter. And I think that's, When you reverse engineer it back into the Medjineter, you can decipher between the mythology in it, the science in it, and the actual history of it. And that's what has to happen. Then you'll have clarity.
Hey, Michigan Man. This is Alex.
What's up, dude?
You know, I hear what you're saying, and I started on a project about quite a few years back. And I got
you
no
better
books
have an escape route.
Well,
go ahead.
I mean, I literally went through every book, and I got up to I think it was Chronicles or Judges. I was skipping around a little bit because trying to find sources. But I went through the first five books, and I found the source, the Egyptian source for all of it. And, you know, especially it's most shocking when you go through Psalms and Proverbs. I mean, it's whole tracks just copied from our ancient books and things like that. But you know what I came to realize, though? It's like, why am I doing this? You know, because I was thinking about, publishing it and, publishing a book or whatever. And I mean, I don't know. I honestly just don't think it matters.
Well, let me say this, Ali.
Because I think the reason I say that is because I look at all the stuff, like I look at the, and I hope I ain't going to offend nobody on phone, but I look at like Black Hebrew Israelites and these different groups and a lot of the like the early Black Muslim movement here and all this stuff that we do is because we find this validation. We still have this yearning to validate what white folks gave us, which is the Bible.
Right.
And so why am I putting all this effort to, what I'm saying?
Now, let me say this. Let me say this, Alex. I would do it purely for money, purely. It'll be controversial, and I would market it as a controversial book, and I would do it purely for economics. Now, that's my answer to you. If I believe it will be controversial enough that it will make money, and that's why you should do it. And I'd like to invest in it. But from that standpoint, you're right. You're not doing it to try to change anybody's belief. Who cares what you believe personally? You can sleep with it, and lay up with it, whatever. It's yours. It's supposed to be yours. So you're not doing it to change anybody's beliefs. I would do it for money.
Right. I hear you, man. Okay.
Well, it's so funny to hear. It's so funny to hear Tracy talking about sitting at the table and changing the system. You can't change the system when you 10% of the population in America.
Listen.
You have
the
to,
only
you
thing
have to,
Tracy
going to
do
whites
at the table of white.
Their own system.
You're right.
Now, you know another thing too.
You do at the white folk table is get them some more iced tea.
Another thing too, you can't think straight when you all caught up in this Bible about Jews supposed to be the chosen
You're
people
right.
and all that
right.
crazy crap.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah,
need
yeah.
no damn Jesus and don't want no God to bless me. The hell with that stuff.
Well, right. You know, I have to disagree with y'all, though, that you can't make a difference just because you're 10%. I mean, of course, if in a purely democratic and in a true republic, you're right, you can't. Especially with the psychopathic racial personality of the of the general population.
African, you're right.
The thing about it, though, is that's not what we live in. We live in a very crony capitalist fascist
right.
regime, and you know Jews are only less than 2% of the population.
Hey,
and they
back.
Have
and
a lot of
power. Tracy and friends here on WSOM
yeah.
AM 600. What did y'all do in the chat room while I was gone? That everybody dropped out. Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. What did y'all do? Go ahead and spill the beans.
We ain't did nothing, boss.
Yeah, y'all did. I saw folks drop out like somebody, like, you know, pass gas. You know I can see on this side, right? I just can't hear, but I can see.
We didn't do anything.
Y'all did something. What was y'all talking about?
We're basically debating like what Six is saying. What's good for the goose, good for the candor.
I don't know. No, no cliche. That was a cliche, Stanley. No, that's not going to work right there. What did y'all talk about?
We're just saying that white moderates, if they want change, they need to change their system. This is their system. They need to change it.
Why?
Because this is their system that they built. So
right.
so they the white moderates, if they want to change, if they're not happy with what their government is doing, other whites are doing,
then they need
then
to change.
Change.
That's right.
Let me,
that's
you guys
a family.
Really?
That's a family issue. That's right. That's a family issue.
What do you mean it's a family issue? Whose family?
Huh? White folk.
Whose family?
What he's talking about, the American political system. That's a family fight.
Michigan, you got to understand something. You got to understand something. I'm a white guy. I don't
I
care
that.
Nothing about nobody except my
yeah.
the people living in my house.
Yeah.
Now,
that's
I
okay.
don't pay. Nope. You got to understand this.
Yeah, that's okay.
I'm here to make money, and I'm here to be an honest man and do unto others as I would have them do unto me. But other than that, I don't care if you're black, brown, purple, yellow, or white. I don't care.
I mean,
yeah, I can understand
and
that
I'm
person.
Tired, and you're just
well,
out of
see,
whack.
See,
you
see, Slick,
get,
you
well,
just
no,
can't
no,
be.
No.
You can't be tired. See, like I told you the other day, I represent. I give my opinions and my views based on my experiences and the things
right.
I've went through. And you know, I like you very well, Slick. But like I told you before, there's a line where me and you have to draw.
Yeah.
And it's that way because of who I am and who you are.
It's world history.
different
world.
Can I ask you guys a question? Can I ask you, why do we judge everybody?
Different worldview.
What do you mean different? But that, you know, you and I have a different worldview.
Yeah.
So would you trust me any less?
Well, Tracy, if I was going to choose between you and Madonna, if I was going to choose between you and Madonna, who do you think I would go to?
I don't know, because I think Madonna got more of a worldview like yours than I do.
No, I think I would go with you, because I think I could straighten you out once I close them doors.
I don't think so. You would have a very, very difficult time. I don't understand this, and I think
you're
this is
your Mac.
I think this is a cancer that is killing the black community.
No, it's not a cancer.
Why does it have to be
all
killing the black community?
Right.
Why come it can't be killing the white community? See,
because
there you go
the white
again.
Because white folks ain't dying.
They ain't dying like y'all. No, it's
not,
you gotta
realize,
not a cancer.
Listen, their seed is still going on where your seed is being killed and being...
That's just here in America.
Right.
It really ain't here in America.
That's the narrow worldview you have, Tracy. We're running rings around them as far as population growth. So
that was the fear that Columbus had, too.
Yeah. So that's
no, it's just, I mean, that's just the way it is. I think that Matt and Slick, Stick, his name, I keep messing it up.
That's okay, Bianchi.
I think you're the nicest people in the world. I mean, you bring a lot of information.
But let me ask you this.
Do
you have children, Bianchi?
Yes, I have children, and you don't want them, my grandson, to come on. You think I talk.
No, hold on. You have children. You have boys and girls?
I have a daughter.
Okay. What happens when your daughter brings home a white man and says she's going to marry him?
My daughter knew better because here's the point. My daughter would never think that her father could tell her wrong.
And that's a good thing. That's a good thing.
So you mean to tell me your daughter would never date or go out and date a white guy?
No, that's why, like I told you before, me and the Klan have a lot of things in common. And you know your parents told you that too at the table.
No, they didn't do that.
Came home to dinner at my house.
No, we didn't have that conversation. Sorry. You know, if my family looks like the United Nations, you know, we bring
We bring
poor, everybody home. And poor we
Tracy.
treat people, you know, again. We don't judge folks because they got blue eyes.
Let me ask you a question. What is wrong with that?
There's nothing wrong with it, but what's wrong with inclusion?
The guys of ancient and people was against that.
What's wrong with just treating people as people?
Hey, Bible was against that. Come on now.
Dr. Claude Anderson was doing a lecture in Detroit.
Yeah.
He said, you see what's wrong with black folk? At least white folk is clear on that. When they advocate for whales, they for whale rights. When they advocate for trees, they for tree rights. When they advocate for gays, they for gay rights. He said, when you get the blacks, they advocating for civil rights. He said, now who in the hell in your family named civil?
But let me ask you this. What is wrong with just treating people as people? Black folks are not doing anything but becoming like the Aryan nation. Yes, we are. You're right. We're not, because we don't even love ourselves.
Yeah, that's a false statement.
We hate everybody else and we hate ourselves. We got a problem.
No, the thing that you don't want to fess up to, Tracy, until you go back and learn some more of your history, you won't, is this: the concept of race, Tracy. First of all, it's not a bad thing. Let's get that on the table. The second thing, it's a natural aggregate process that stems from family and relationships.
You know, Michigan, I'm not going to... You know why? Let me tell you
that's
this. Because
natural.
It does nothing... But listen, it does nothing but breed hate.
No, it does
and
not.
It does... Listen.
Prove it.
If my history... I don't want to know nothing about my history that's going to cause me to hate the people that I know.
Okay, but
I just told you I love
history.
I told you
breeds hate.
I just told you I admire Matt. I admire Matt Ben and Slick.
I don't hate anybody on this phone.
But listen to what I'm saying. You should judge people by the content of their character, not
making
by
an assessment, making a historical assessment.
Listen,
assessment.
But you're not. But your history. Your history is not in Africa.
That's not. What are you talking about?
My history is in Africa.
Your history is not in Africa.
My history goes back to the Volta region of Ghana.
Your history goes back to America. You have been so delusioned, and your bloodline has been so polluted, you are actually indigenous to America.
My bloodline on both my sides, my father and my mother, goes back to the Awe in the Volta region of Africa. That's why I call my
marriage
an Awe woman.
But the majority of African Americans that we talk to on a daily basis, their bloodline has been so diluted.
But what does that have to do with what we're talking about?
Between Indians and because y'all want to go find something in Africa that don't want you. Go ahead, find one of your mics on.
Well,
crazy.
I mean,
hold on. Go ahead. Go find one eight.
Tracy, I realistically, if that is Bianchi, what he's saying is true. Now he's just trying to be detailed about it, but realistically, yes. White people can trace their ancestors back to Africa. What you're saying, Tracy, is also true. The reality of us being able to say that our mama and daddies came from Africa. And we still got a family member that lives in Africa that we know and talk to today. Yeah, anybody on the phone that's going to say that is lying.
Rick, you can't even find, unless you actually pay for your DNA lineage to actually try to do a little DNA thing, you can't even find what part of Africa you come from.
My point
in saying that, for everyone on the phone, a freaking roach can be traced back to Africa. Now let's not play games here.
Let's look at this, Tracy. Why don't you trace your ancestors back to Switzerland, Scotland, and England, and see how receptive you would be?
I'm not trying to be receptive by folks in England, Scotland, and or anywhere else. The question is, why do I care, and why can't I just live my life in the present and the future?
You can't.
I understand, but let me get this out. I hear black folks saying they always want to go back and denigrate when blacks trace themselves back to Africa. Okay, that's fine. So why don't you trace yourself back to England, Scotland, France, and go see how receptive those people are when you knock on the door and say, hello, cousin.
But that's not the argument. Here, the concern for most African Americans, if we have to put a geographical location on where you live, the card to identify you by, if we have to do that, the African American has to get out of what they consider to be a realistic past so that they can now identify themselves with that past. The past is yesterday. I can't go back into yesterday and identify myself with yesterday. I have to live where I am today.
Somebody just asked in the chat room, you know, you can go back and do it. I did a DNA test. And I had it done a couple years ago. Jeff and I both did it. And I found out in my bloodline, I got black blood from the Sanhedrin of Africa. I've got Asian blood. I don't know where that came from. I've got European blood, and I got Indian blood.
I don't even know where
Asia came from.
Right, and that's why this is where me and Bianchi, you know, now we don't disagree on much, but this is where I wouldn't, like the caller just, the other brother just said, that's not the issue anyway. So see, it's too easy if you go that route of saying go trace your bloodline. The identifying with Africa is more about politics, economics, and social theory than it is about tracing your bloodline.
But this is
that
the
is
issue.
Why. Hold on, Tracy. If you look throughout history, that is why people do that. It's more it has more to do with than just saying, I have the blood of an African. It's about reconnecting yourself back there for political reasons, economic reasons, and social reasons. Now, if you can't see that, that's okay, but that's what it's about.
But my friend, you're right. You're 100% right, because here, let's stay in America. Let's get out of Africa. I don't even like Africa like that.
Yeah.
Let's stay in America. What they've done in America is they've allowed, here, this conspiracy theory that exists, the Skull and Bones Association. That's supposed to be considered a bloodline association, and the only way you can become a part of that club is through a bloodline. So what Michigan is saying, I believe, is 100% correct. It's all about identifying yourself for social and economic inclusion.
That's right.
For a reason.
But don't you guys understand? You are trying to keep yourself isolated into something that you don't have anything to isolate with, instead of living in the moment.
That's a ridiculous statement, Tracy. You need to listen to what you say. That's ridiculous.
Can I chime in on this
say.
Right here, Tracy?
Go ahead.
Ridiculous.
I think that I hear what everybody's saying, and I don't necessarily consider myself Afrocentric. However, I think that there's a lot of lessons we can learn from history. It's about more social theory why I identify with Africa. Unfortunately, I think we still have I think black people in America still have a hard lesson they're going to learn. And I think it's going to be similar to the lesson that the Jews learned in Nazi Germany. Because the Jews learned, unfortunately, that... because they have the same story. I mean, they've interbred with all kinds of European populations. By the time they were in Nazi Germany, they weren't full blood Hebrew or anything like that. I mean, they were probably the furthest thing from it. You know, mixing with the Khazars and all this stuff. But it was the social. They realized that it was the social theory of being attached to a piece of land that they called their own and their homeland that would give them the power necessary for any group of people that was migrating around the world. And so, you have to construct home first. And I think that, unfortunately, we're going to come to that realization too, but it may be, you know, the realization may be even more harsh than what the Jews met.
Alex, you're right on point.
Listen, this is my issue. But this is my issue. I do not understand right now in my own home, in my own neighborhood, in my own circumference that I have control over my history. When I look at my family that I know, I'm quite sure my grandmother is spinning in her grave by how we've turned out, some of us. They really have a hard time when they went through Jim Crow, they went through the hell that they went through just here in America, to get to the place where their kids don't care about education. They screwing everything walking, and they dropping babies like a business.
And their neighborhoods are not integrated.
In an all-black neighborhood, living in the same house that your grandfather built. We gonna sit up here and talk about I need to connect to Africa. When I got kids around me in my family that can't even wash their own behinds because they so lazy.
See,
I don't understand that. But we're telling black kids right now that they are victims of race because they can't connect back to Africa. But they got their grandmama's picture standing on a wall that they can't connect to either.
Tracy, who's talking? Who you said we? Who is this? Do you have some other conversations going on in your head besides the ones that's on the phone?
No, but
because
I say
Listen,
the we that I'm talking about is African Americans as a people. Look at the incarceration rate. Look at the reading rate. Look at where they're going. Look at the income levels of African American males. Heck, look at your own families.
Can,
go to your, saying, oh no, 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 no. Look at your cousins.
Now, I already know
no,
all that.
Yeah, no, 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 no.
You
go
about,
to a family, you go to a family reunion, and you are embarrassed by your family because of how they've turned out, and you don't understand where the heck they came from, but you want to connect back to Africa and
no,
blame the white man for
from.
It.
Can I
well,
just
Tracy,
Tracy,
you know, here in St. Louis,
where
we took a group of black men and black women. Trained them in the bases of construction, made sure they were drug-free and drug-clean, and the whites still wouldn't hire them. They bring their own cousins and nephews from 100 miles all the way up to Joliet, Illinois, down here and work on these bridge projects, which is federally
funded.
That's
what they're supposed to do.
Yeah, and see, what you're just saying, I understand where you're coming from, but it just don't work that way. Al Sharpton had to come here and participate with a highway shutdown because you had white contractors going through the heart of the black community doing interstate highway repair work and would not hire one black person that lived in these areas. So we had to shut the damn highway down to get attention.
Listen to what I'm saying. We in our own can make a difference if we chose to, but we got too many folks trying to hate Jews and go back to Africa, which I'm so confused about.
That's why we shut the damn highway down. We made a difference.
Can I address that, Tracy? Because you're making a valid point, but I think you're looking at the symptoms of the problem, not really the problem. Since it's Black History Month, I'm going to quote Frederick Douglass. When they had the question of the turn of the century about the Negro problem, what should we do with the Negro? Frederick Douglass said, don't do anything with them. Leave them alone. And that's the problem. What we're seeing is that they won't leave us alone. All these issues are due to meddling by the system, which is controlled by, by white people, controlled by the system, whether it's prohibition related or whatever, that is destroying our communities and our families. And so we need to be in conditions that we can control. And that's
Alex, but listen to what I'm saying. We actually can do things about it. Those of us who know better need to quit buying into the system and quit lying to each other and being selling out our own people. Because, heck, we sell out our own family. Instead of us telling them to pull up their pants, we go out and buy the pants for them and push them down. Tell me that's not true.
Well, you're right. That is true. But at 3:30 this afternoon, I will be in front of a group of young men, like I do periodically, and I will be telling them, explaining things to them from my perspective, telling them about how the religion, they already know about that. That was covered in long ago. But that's what I'm going to do. And you can
and
do the same
this,
thing.
Let me say this to you, because I know many of you do not believe in the Bible and or Christianity and or what I believe, because I am a staunch Christian and there's no way of getting around it. But let me say this. I will apologize for the thugs calling themselves preachers who have not stood up and been men and women of integrity as they should have, because they have not represented Christianity right.
Why come you don't apologize to the thugs that created your preachers? For a particular reason.
They didn't create
historically.
Them. They bought into
they
them.
Did. The black preacher was created. Come on.
That's what Tracy don't know.
Michigan, don't tell me what I do know and what I don't know, because you don't know what I know.
I just know what you're saying.
You know what I'm saying. And what I'm saying is a preacher is not created. He is called. What we do is we turn people into pimps.
Tracy,
and we need to
based
acknowledge
on what
that.
You're saying, you don't know.
No, I know.
Just listen to her.
You don't
do
know.
Listen to her.
And you know how the government.
Well, y'all listen in every day, so you ought to know by now.
And you know how the government keeps them under control so they can keep black folks at their state with the 501s so the blacks can't get out of their state. So they're basically
That's not true. It is not true.
It is true.
Listen,
it was the preacher.
No.
Listen,
Bianchi, let me say this to you if you really want to know the truth about it. If you go to most black churches around here and ask them about their 501c3 nonprofit status, I'll bet you they don't have their paperwork intact. So, heck, they don't even have to worry about it. They just don't know it, and they use it because they call themselves a church.
Well, let me tell you what my experience. The day we were shutting the highway down on a Monday, we met at this church on Kings Highway and St. Louis Avenue on Sunday.
And guess who came to try to talk us out of it? The damn preachers. Sent by Mel Carnahan. Go down there and see if you can calm the Negroes up.
You know what?
Let me say this, Chris. We're having a back and forth conversation. You got people out there in your chat room who don't know this.
Did I not tell you I was sorry because they've been nothing but pimps? Did I not say that?
But they do not represent that which I believe?
How many times has Tracy said
that it was the black preachers that tried to shut Martin Luther King up?
I mean, did I not say that?
Don't rock the boat.
You can't admit that whites did create the black preacher.
Wait a minute, you gotta quit using that word. They didn't create the black preacher. They created a person and they named him a preacher, and you got bad preachers teaching bad preachers how to be bad preachers. But when you have a good preacher, you have to understand a preacher is nothing but a person who proclaims the truth.
That's all that means.
In the advent of Nat Turner, they created preachers. They didn't let the black man read the Bible by himself.
I know what was done. I know Margaret Sanger
with the black preacher.
Yeah, she recruited the black preachers to try to get y'all to abort all your kids.
It's worked. Go ahead, 518. Your mic is on. South Carolina, your mic is open also. Go ahead on 518.
Well, Trace, I don't know how the conversation jumped from Africa to the church and the black preacher, but I mean, the black church ain't got no power, no way. I don't know why y'all talking about it.
No,
that's not true.
No, they don't.
That's not true. Really don't.
No, black church is, it's a franchise. It's a business franchise, and they're selling faith and hope. It's a sole proprietorship, which is one of the problems. Which is, if it's going to be a business, it needs to be a corporation with some board members so it can make some money. But it's a sole proprietor. It's the black preacher. He don't need no degrees. It's the easiest business to get into in the black community, and they're selling hope and faith.
Do you think a white preacher needs a degree?
No.
I ask a question.
Do you think a white preacher needs a degree?
When a black preacher gets ordained, he gets his paperwork from white folks.
What the degree does, it allows you to make more of the business. If you notice, most of your black preachers who go deeper into it and get the degrees and stuff, they're more articulate. They're able to get more members. This is not my conjecture. Same thing with white folk. The more schooled they are about the religion and the business of religion. They usually have more.
Hold on, stop. I'm not going to wait today. I'm telling y'all now.
Like Jesse Jackson.
Listen to what I'm saying to you guys. I said that I apologize for the people who call themselves preachers. Because everybody that calls themselves a preacher, I'm telling you, they are not.
And everybody that calls themselves a Christian,
they are
not.
And what I'm saying is they have done a snow job because they have not told the truth.
Tracy, can I say this? Tracy, because you know me, this is going to sound very, very disturbing. But unfortunately, I can liken the preacher, specifically the African American preacher, the black preacher. I must liken him unto the drug dealer. You've got some good drug dealers that have a strong clientele base, and you got some bad drug dealers that use their own product. Yeah. Either way, all he does is create a group of people that become dependent on a word.
It's a business.
I'm sorry, Tracy. It's a business.
But it is not a business. It is not. Listen, Your faith is not a business. Now, people capitalize
selling
on your faith because you allow them to.
You're not talking about faith, Tracy.
Selling faith is
faith.
A business. Yeah. Selling
Tracy,
faith is a business.
Faith.
Listen, then
Tracy,
why do you – why? See, that's South Carolina.
What you got is individuals out there that are using the Bible and using the pulpit as a means of employing themselves, okay? It's the same thing as, you know, it's not like a dope dealer, because a dope dealer, you know, he's trying to sell pleasure, you know, and there's no way, shape, form, or fashion that you can sell salvation, regardless. I don't care how you look at it.
Faith and hope is pleasure.
It's not the same thing. You know, what you've got to understand is you've got individuals out there that are preaching the truth, and you've got individuals out there that's preaching a lie. And yes, there's bad ones out there, but yes, there are good ones out there. They're very good, and you can't lump them all into the same category. The problem in America is the news media tends to want to promote the ones that are bad for us. Okay, they tend to want to promote the Jesse Jacksons, the Al Sharptons. Julian Bond is a minister. Ben Jealous carries the title of Reverend.
So does Derek Dyson.
Yeah, Dyson is a minister. Cornel West is a reverend. Cornel West. Okay.
They're boys.
But you got individuals out there that's not doing that. Okay. Now here's the other thing. You've got some white ministers out there. Some are very prominent, and some of them are on TV that are just as poison to the white community.
Absolutely.
Can I give you a name?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Joel Osteen.
Yeah,
well,
they
I would
say religion. Whoa,
go ahead, Rick.
Listen, now you're I would be specific. Since you want to go ahead and indict the whole preaching community, let's go ahead and do it. I'm with you. But the reality of it is, I'm standing by what I say. Hold on. I'm going to indict him. I will. You might not. I will. The truth of the matter is that corner drug dealer is the same person that preacher is on Sunday in the pulpit.
Yes.
I got a question for you. You went to my church.
You rude.
I know I'm rude. Too bad. you went to my church a couple weeks ago.
I did go.
Is he a drug dealer? I'll put you straight on the spot. Answer the question.
Yes, I'm waiting for you to ask me that, Tracy. I've been waiting to talk about this for about 3 weeks now.
Is he a drug dealer?
Your minister, respectively, let me be fair. Your minister, respectively, has an awesome gift.
I asked you, is my pastor a drug dealer?
How hard is
this question?
I'm going to answer. Yeah. Yes, I'm going to answer your question. Is he a drug dealer?
Yes.
Yes.
Or no?
He is.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. You know why? Can I tell you why?
Nope.
Because the one thing a drug dealer must do, outside of gaining a strong customer base, he has to maintain control of that customer base. How do I know this? Because that's where his money source is. If he loses control, he loses money.
But can I ask you
this? Absolutely, he's a...
Hold on. But Rick.
You said you have 150 churches in Youngstown and probably two black businesses. Your area looked like something that went down a toilet. So that tells you right there, that's reality. You have
they're sole proprietorships. They are
they're
businesses. They're sole proprietorships. They only benefit...
So hold on. So when he don't take a salary, I don't understand. I'm trying to really figure out.
I know.
You asked me.
The IRS. Hold on, Tracy. Let me do this for you. The IRS couldn't pinpoint any type of income for Al Capone. Okay, they couldn't do it. They had a hard time trying to figure out where his money source was coming from.
All right.
Okay. The preacher does the same.
So the question is, hold on.
Hold on, Rick.
I'm a preacher. Am I a drug dealer?
You're not a pastor.
I would
say yes.
I'd say that.
I'm a preacher.
I'm a preacher
to my heart.
If you're selling religion, yes.
Isn't that amazing?
What, yes. Explain that, selling religion.
Well, Tracy, let me ask this, okay? So that I can get some understanding in here. What about an imam?
A who?
An imam.
He's a pillar too. If he's
American?
Selling an organized religion that's based
off
open
it.
Faith,
I mean,
yes.
Okay.
Well, I ain't going to say that because I don't know that much about Islam, so I ain't going to say it. I know about Christianity.
Anyone that tries to preach the word of God is selling something.
Yes, they are.
You can't sell something that's free.
Ray Higgins is a better preacher than the rest of them.
Check this out, guys. Hey, listen. The truth of the matter is religion doesn't have a faith. Whether you want to call it Catholic, whether you want to call it Muslim, whether you want to call it Islam, whether you want to call it Buddhism, Protestant, it doesn't have a faith. It doesn't have a faith.
I got to take a look. Hold on.
Local call, your mic is on.
Okay. I want to inject a little bit.
Hey, the brother's talking right there.
Hold on, local call. Guys on the phone, hold up. Go ahead, local call.
Okay. If we wouldn't have gave foreign aid, sent all of our money overseas, our cities would be gleaming and just beautiful. Now, predominantly, there's a lot of cities that are predominantly black. So why in the world is not these cities show us and make them gleaming? Because you really could do this, you know. It's because you've got cities that are predominantly black. And you could
Youngstown.
Make the city so pretty, just like we should have made all of our cities pretty, but we just gave our money away and just threw it. And this is what's so silly about Jens arguing amongst yourself, because just like I one time example real quick, I ran into a very 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 pretty black girl one time, and but I happened to know that she was also French, and all she could talk about was going back to her roots in Africa, and she did this every day. It made me finally sick. And I said, I happen to know that you're half French. I said, why don't you ever talk about going back to France for your roots? It just doesn't make no sense. And if you went back to Africa, I don't think you'd like it. I really don't. And we all Americans, and right at this point in time, we better start sticking together, or we will be, I think we're going to be slaughtered. Yeah, and you talk about Homeland Security. They also, Bradley's, Homeland Security got Bradley's with machine gun mounts on them already. Bunch of them. Now, I don't know exactly how many, but they're a big in number. Then we got these bike and walking trails with big I-beams underneath the bridges on those walking trails that will hold tanks. We've got other things to worry about right now than arguing amongst yourselves. And I happen to, well, I think me and you could sit down, Tracy, anytime and talk. So anyway.
Thank you. But I got a question, caller, before you go. Because the question is, what we're talking about is we don't believe that we're included in what's going on here. You have to understand why this argument is taking place.
I've had too many black friends in my time, and I dang sure didn't walk up to them and say, hey, you African-American. I called them Rufus. I called them by their name. Tony down in South Carolina. I called them by names. I didn't call them. And in the first place, you walk up to me, do you think you've got to tell me you're African-American? I think that's a
you figure that out.
It's just crazy.
So the
really is.
So I got a question. You sound like you're a man. You got some years on you. So tell me, and I want you to. I got to ask you these questions because there's been a lot of history there. If you've got some years on you, because we don't feel as though we're included. There are people that don't feel as though they're American anymore. They don't feel as though they're included in this American way.
It's not a feeling though, but.
It's not a feeling. What is it?
No, it's a knowledge. It's a knowing. It's a knowledge. You can know that. It's not a feeling. That's why you don't need nobody's opinion on that. History will tell you that.
Yeah, look at Youngstown. It's still redlining. It's not integrated.
It's not a feeling, Tracy. That's what's wrong. This is science.
It's not integrated. And when they gentrify it,
The reason why Youngstown is not integrated is not because of the color of people's skin. Seriously.
It was white.
Well, why come black folks don't do their own thing?
Answer me this, you guys. All you guys, no, wait a minute. Answer me this. I'm of European descent, mainly Dutch, German, and English. And I don't feel any desire or any connection at all with Europe. None at all. If I got any connection at all, it's actually with Wisconsin. Now explain this to me, because I can't grasp what you guys are hollering about.
Let me explain this. Stick, your parents, your people left voluntarily. You had opportunity to say goodbye. You had opportunity to pack lunches and all that stuff. Mine did not.
But I want to go to Africa, but I'm not trying to move there.
We're not telling you to move there.
Africa is like a piece of kryptonite to Tracy. Tracy, nobody has asked you to go pack up your little travel bag
I'm not trying to turn African Americans into Afrocentric people. I just want them to live life now, stay out of jail, have a family, and move forward.
What's wrong with that? And they allowed to move back to paradise. There's an African American community in Ghana. I don't want to live in there, but some go there and do right on the beach, white sand beach. You can't find nothing like that in America.
But my question is, why is it that we do not? We always going backwards instead of going forward.
How is that backwards?
Listen,
because when you look at this conversation, even with the preachers. When you look at what we're saying, and I'm saying that I'm not a dope dealer. I'm not trying to capitalize on your faith. What I'm trying to tell you is you need to live life today so that you can actually have a family tomorrow.
When kids come home with the green shirts on and run around with four-leaf clovers in their hair and four-leaf clovers, black kid, four-leaf clovers painted all on their cheeks and stuff like that. Now, what the hell does that have to do with education? You don't consider that going backwards? Why do they keep going backwards and supporting those holidays that have historical roots to it? Why do you want to not go back when it comes to you, but the country that you live in? Why do you think they're doing that, Tracy?
Listen,
you think they're doing that for fun?
Listen, they're only doing it so they can make some money on St. Patrick's Day and make sure everybody drinks green beer. And listen to what I'm saying. Listen, you're talking about Irish. Irish have been enslaved. Irish have issues. And they are who they are. My question is, at least in their day, in their home, the ones that I know, most of them had a pretty productive life. Now, do they have some people out there that's broken and stupid? Yes, absolutely. But when I look at the incarceration rate of black males and black men having children outside of wedlock and dropping babies and keep on going and not taking care of them, and fathers not taking care of them.
White men are doing that too, Tracy. Newsflash.
Not to the numbers of African American men. I met a man the other day, nice kid. He's 30 years old, he got 10 kids.
How you think you got so many mulattoes in the United States?
All white
so you
crime.
Gonna, so who had babies out of wedlock more than anybody else?
All white crime,
you know,
Tracy. And 90% of all white crime is white on white. Did
you
know that?
If he had if he had 10 kids doing slavery, the white master would be happy because that's a lot of people you can sell.
South Carolina.
The thing that he just said, he's correct on that. But the crazy thing about it is, the black on black crime is extremely high. But the crimes that are being committed by black people, you know, they're being committed by those at a very high level. Whereas you know, we're so concerned about what the white man is doing, we need to be concerned about what the black man is doing to us, i.e. the so-called leaders of black America, and we follow them blindly. I mean, we follow them blindly. The NAACP comes out and states
that's
something
because
that's
they have
true.
No sense in South Carolina. They don't know better.
Here's the problem. Instead of us blaming the people we need to be blaming, we are blaming the white man.
Wait a minute.
Okay.
It's South Carolina.
It's because
listen,
black
listen.
People are working
a historical
white
analysis is not blank. Why do y'all keep jumping to the emotional side of this?
I'm not burning to that. I'm jumping
okay,
to
so
the
if
factual
somebody,
side.
If somebody lays out historical facts, South Carolina, that's not blaming. That's just a matter of fact. You use that as part of your theory and your formula
listen,
to get out of where
okay.
you're at. You don't disregard
okay,
it.
Here's the problem. Because you do.
Do you leave it out of the equation,
you
South Carolina? Yes or no?
Thinking.
You
do,
do
not.
You leave it out of the
everyone.
Equation. Yes.
If you will let
no.
me finish speaking, dude, you do not. You do not add or put everybody into the equation. You leave selectively certain individuals out. In order
I
to
said
demonize,
I
don't demonize, that's what I'm saying, history. You selectively do not include certain individuals in history. You selectively forget or blindly forget those individuals who are the cause of us being here in the first place. Until you rightly put that blame on those individuals, the whole argument you have is a lie to me and everybody else you're talking to. So when you pull
out, who are you saying
whoa,
is
whoa.
The reason why we're here?
Well,
now,
who,
it ain't a lie to
nobody,
me.
We never had a conversation about why we are here.
Yeah,
that wasn't the conversation.
Is the reason why we're
yeah.
here.
That wasn't the conversation.
And you know that
like
that's
said,
the, that's
we
the
said
point.
We were
one
playing
at a time.
Our present day condition, and I asked you, do you leave that out of the formula? Yes or no? Now,
and
I
asked you,
man.
And I told you,
guys, hold on. Go ahead, South Carolina, and then I'm gonna.
I told you. You are blaming individuals, but you selectively leave out the individuals who are responsible for us being here in the first place. If you do not go all the way back to the beginning, you cannot do the thing you need to do. And that's the thing that we are doing. We're not doing. We're blaming the middleman instead of going back and blaming the person who was responsible for it anyway. And
so
by blaming the middleman, we absolve ourselves from having to deal with the problem. The persons that are most responsible for us being here in this country are black people. They look just like us. They're Africans.
You know,
they're Muslims.
Hold on, stop. Hold on, stop. No. Listen what I'm saying. I want everybody to just stop. I'm going to pick up 234, and you guys are going to be quiet. 234, your mic is on. What?
234 don't want to talk. So, Trace, I need to figure out, if we're going to go on ahead and be honest about who we're going to blame for the reason why we are African American, then there should not be any reason for us to talk about going back to Africa, right?
I just want to know something. We go here often, and we go against white plus black and black versus white, and it's a European nation, and I don't understand where I am.
And you're confused.
I'm confused, and I just want to know. And
they have a psychopathic racial personality.
That is psychopathic racial personality.
I just want to know why is it
that I tend to care about black folks and black folks don't tend to care about black folks when it comes to when I look at the disproportionate numbers of what's going on in our life. And when I talk about children and the majority, white folks may leave their kids, but based on the population, of only making up 12% of the population, the ratio is really skewed backwards in the black community. I just want to know, why is it we don't do anything about that? We don't talk about that. We don't want to deal with that. And we want to blame white folks for all of that.
That's exactly what we're talking about now. What are you talking about?
No, no.
No,
you're saying, because see, y'all talk about stuff that you have to be here. And I'm just saying, everyday living is kind of simple. And
okay,
I don't
but
understand.
Tracy, why doesn't the black church talk about it?
Because they're getting paid not to.
Oh.
That ain't true, Trey.
Reg? Reg? A lot of the black preachers, a lot of the black preachers get paid to make sure that you vote a certain way to keep you shut up.
Listen, though, but don't say that all the church. I'm not.
I didn't say all.
Yes,
didn't nobody say
it.
I didn't say all. We were talking about this earlier. I apologize for some, but not all.
Ray Hagin's church is a good one.
Yeah. Ray Hagin is not a good church.
It is a good church. You ever been to it?
Ray Hagin is not a good church. He preaches hate.
Can I ask a question?
His church is a good church.
It is not a good church. He preaches hate. Just because they pack don't make them good.
I go to the church. I know it's a good church. How you going to tell me what it ain't?
Go tell your pastor I said he preaches hate. Go ahead, local call.
That's not fair. That's not fair, Tracy.
Hold on, local call. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was just, I heard you saying how black people are killing themselves at a high rate, and then we only look at maybe one white person doing something similar. But I disagree. I say that when white people kill, they take a mass quantity of people out at one time that almost compensates for the amount of people that are being killed in the black community. That's all I have to say. And that's Sandy Hook.
You know, if white moderates want to change their system, this is what they do if they want to have blacks. Have specifically that blacks cannot get welfare anymore. Have it that. The black people in America cannot get welfare anymore. Because Democrats and Republicans are full of bull on that issue.
Yeah,
they
the same.
Anything. Yeah. So,
let me show you something, bro. Let me show you why
they No, we ain't going to. No, because I only got 3 minutes left. You ain't nothing to see. All I'm saying is, and Ray Hagin, he preaches hate. I'm not about isolating people. I think that people should be rewarded for what they do, and we need to help people that need help, and we need to let people quit pimping the system no matter where they are. But in the African-American community, we need to make people accountable and quit selling everything we've got to the highest bidder, but stand on that principle. Yes?
Not everybody.
The United States Constitution permits you to associate with whoever you want to or disassociate with whoever you do not want to. Ray Hagin's do not tell nobody to hate nobody. Like Malcolm X, Tracy, who told you to hate yourself? Who told you to hate your lips, your hair, the color of your skin?
And hate
Africa.
I don't hate Africa. Who told you to
I don't hate Africa.
Talking about it. I ain't even never been there.
Listen, I don't hate Africa.
Like
I think it's a wonderful place. If that's where you want to go.
Been there.
I don't have to be there. I just think it's a wonderful place. It's a continent. I'll see you guys tomorrow. God bless you and have a good day.
You've been listening to Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Listen to Tracy every weekday from noon to 3 on Newstalk 600. Visit our website for more about Tracy and Friends at www.tracyandfriends.com. That's TRACEY and Friends.com. Tune in tomorrow at noon for the next edition of Afternoons with Tracy and Friends on Newstalk 600 WSOM. WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. The home for Afternoons with Tracy and Friends. Newstalk 600 WSOM.
You've heard it all before. Gold and silver prices are at record levels, and you've heard all the promises from the out-of-town companies saying they'll pay the highest prices. But can you really be sure?
Everybody says the same thing. It's spinning in everyone's head, but where do you go? You go to First Choice Coin in Boardman, paying the highest price.
Tom, owner of First Choice Coin and Jewelry in Boardman, and he'll make sure you get the highest price for your unwanted gold or silver.
Here's
the latest from ABC News. I'm Daria Albinger. Neither rain nor sleet nor gloom of night. Doesn't matter what the weather or the time will be. The postman won't be delivering mail on Saturday starting in August. The cash-strapped postal service says it can't afford to anymore.
Package and medicine deliveries will continue on Saturdays, according to Postmaster General Patrick Donahoe.
The major issues for customers have been, I ordered something on eBay or Amazon and I want to get it delivered this weekend, or can I get my medicine in the mail? Those things will still be delivered.
Donahoe says delivery of letters and catalogs will drop to 5 days a week starting in August, and that 70% of Americans support the change to five-day delivery. Vic Ratner, ABC News, at the Capitol.
President Obama nominating a new member of his cabinet.
I am extraordinarily proud today to nominate another strong and capable leader to take the reins at Interior, and that is Ms. Sally Jewell.
The CEO at outdoor products company REI now faces Senate confirmation. House Speaker John Boehner doesn't like the president's plan for a temporary tax and spending cut plan in order to avoid automatic cuts from taking place on March 1st.
At some point, Washington has to deal with its spending problem. Now, I've watched them kick this can down the road for 22 years that I've been here. I've had enough of it. Time to act.
The president said yesterday he doesn't think Congress can reach a budget deal in time. Illinois Governor Pat Quinn, the latest state executive to call for stronger gun control laws.
We cannot wait for another tragedy to happen before we take action. We must move forward with a comprehensive plan that includes gun safety.